In a brazen power grab ripped straight from the globalist authoritarian handbook, President Trump's National Security Presidential Memorandum 7, or NSPM 7, has just redefined core American beliefs as indicators of domestic terrorism. This thing unleashes the FBI's sprawling joint terrorism task forces to sniff out and preemptively dismantle networks before a single crime is committed. Stephen Miller called it the first real all-of-government push against left-wing terror. But as Ken Klippenstein laid bare, the language is so broad it devours everything in its path, bypassing Congress through this same old federal local fusion centers that have been grinding away at liberty for decades. And in the last few days, Trump's counterterrorism point man, Sebastian Gorka, made it crystal clear. This blade cuts both ways.
Let's come back to right-wing extremism. Do you regard it as a threat at all or anything that's important to be considering right now? Because the SPLC revelations, I feel like we just got the tip of the iceberg. We don't really know how deep it goes. I mean, is there any? Like, I guess that's the question. I'm assuming there's a little bit because it's a big country. There's a little bit of everything. But is there really anything?
We have to have an effective, accurate snapshot on who are part of the conservative movement today. Because I would say to you, I'm not sure that Nick Fuentes or Tucker Carlson are conservatives. If you are lauding a Sharia law, if you are saying that there are Muslim states that seem to be better qualitatively than America in terms of freedom and prosperity, I'm not sure that means you're part of the conservative movement. So if you remove those individuals and you understand that they're not conservatives, what's left? Who are the people in the mainstream of the conservative movement, Alex, who are saying violence is okay? Hard to find people who aren't fringe figures.
So I don't talk a lot about Fuentes on the show because I always knew that there was something up about it. It was very obvious to me, and I just didn't know how much. It's always tough when you've got a big newsroom like Breitbart because I've got two options. I've got ignore it, knowing this thing is eventually going to go away, right, or direct a bunch of fire at it. And we did a couple of pieces on him over the years that have been negative, obviously. But I spent a lot of time on it because it felt very inorganic to me. Certainly the numbers that were reported around this guy, that he was commanding this huge audience, though none of us know anyone who actually cares about his show in a serious way. Now he came out just a couple days ago and said he's a flat-out Democrat. The left understands this. They're as strategic as we are, if not more strategic. And for them to boost people who could drive a wedge within the MAGA movement is about the best strategy they could run. And now we've got actual evidence that's what they were doing.
It's such a sad truth.
NSPM 7 can now be twisted into domestic inquisition. Thousands of JTTF agents embedded in local police departments, campuses, and online now primed to hunt radicalizing speech that challenges Gorka's protected narrative.
Official terrorism strategy, counterterrorism strategy, literally says they will identify and neutralize political groups that are anti-American, and then they throw in or radically pro-transgender and anarchists. So the bone is, we're going to go after Antifa, we're going to go after the transgender groups, but don't worry, we define all of the former MAGA that are actually patriots as the enemy. Just like they tell you all the police states for the Muslims after 9/11, and of course the whole time it was really for all of us.
Fuentes, you will burn in hell, you sad little boy.
What the?
This isn't new. It's a bipartisan version of post-9/11 powers. NSPM 7 revives that machinery domestically, mapping evildoers through beliefs once protected by the First Amendment, which this document notably ignores. Recall Bush-era directives enabling mass surveillance and preemption that ensnared Americans for years, from Obama's IRS targeting conservatives to Biden's war on Alex Jones and every America First dissenter. Time to expose it, reject it, and reclaim the freedoms our forefathers bled for. The Great Awakening demands vigilance.
make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Methylene blue. Blue. I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up.
Stuff works,
man. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. Very, very big show we have for you today. A very special show we have for you. I'll be doing the first hour here, and, I'll tell you the full story. My kids have a big end of the year thing, a big performance, and then I got to go do some signing stuff or some legal stuff. We got to meet with lawyers, all this just normal life stuff. And so I asked Rob Dew if he could fill in for me today so I could go take care of some stuff. Then the man falls off a ladder, and so he's got a giant black eye, and so I'm not going to make you go. We're not going to make you go on air like that. Thank God he's okay, but it's a good reminder. Ladders are extremely dangerous, folks. This is the information you need to know. Even as a fully functional, capable adult, you got to be careful. But it's great. It's fine because actually the backup plan is even better than we expected. So I'll be here for the first hour. We got a lot of news to cover. I'm going to get into Chud the Builder, of course. He was supposed to be our guest yesterday, and an hour before he was supposed to come on, the man gets in a shootout outside of a courthouse. He has now been arrested and charged. We'll go over those charges. We'll talk about Donald Trump's visit to China, of course. We'll talk about some developments in the Iran war, but mostly we'll be talking about data centers and AI for the first hour. And then in the second hour, I'm actually going to have Tiffany Cianci be Skyping in. It's not the right word, but she's going to be she actually is on the ground in Kentucky for the big get out the vote push for Thomas Massie. Voting starts today, I believe, in Kentucky. So if you're in Kentucky, if you're certainly in Massie's district, get out the vote starts today. And Tiffany Cianci is there with a bunch of really popular content creators and politicians all coming together to make sure that Thomas Massie wins the day, because this really is a litmus test for America. Are we a republic, or are we just an economic zone that can be manipulated at will as long as you got the cash to do it? And it's pretty interesting, the developments in the Thomas Massie election. So very excited to, you know, lend our platform to that mission to defeat the scumbags, defeat the puppet politician and the puppeteers such as Paul Singer and Miriam Adelson. And standing up for a true America First patriot in Thomas Massie. Very excited for Tiffany Cianci in the second hour. And then in the third hour, we're going to be showing the interview that Alex Jones did with Russell Brand, two of probably the most, I don't know, lightning rod figures in the modern media landscape. So very excited to show you that interview in the third hour. But I'm going to try to pack in as much as I can for this first hour. I think I want to start with some good news, some happy news. Some, frankly, just not terrible news, I guess would be one way of putting it. And that is that Thomas Massie is now ahead in the polls, which is great because today is when the voting actually begins. I've always been a little bit suspect at the polling in Kentucky because Thomas Massie's so popular. He's just won every election he's been in, even when Donald Trump was against him by, you know, 80%. of the vote. So, you know, it always kind of was strange to me that this guy, Ed Galrain, who nobody had ever heard of and refused to debate Thomas Massie and it got caught using AI to like post things on social media. Totally, you know, fraudulent guy. Yeah, for Mother's Day, the crew reminds me. It was for Mother's Day, the Mother's Day post. You can't cobble together three sentences on Mother's Day. You just say Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And it's and they literally had to ask AI how to do this. Was he born in a test tube? The crew's telling me he was born in a test tube. And that he may, in fact, just be a fully fledged AI creation. He might not exist at all. Kidding, of course. But there is some very, there are some very interesting developments here. We'll go to clip number 15. This was a little town hall meeting that Ed Galrain was doing. I think that's how you say his name. No one's ever heard of this guy. But it's not going very well for him. See, he has refused totally to debate Thomas Massie, which is sort of a traditional thing. Like, you know, for the last like 200 years, it's been a fundamental core part of the campaign season. You got two opponents. They disagree with each other. I'm better. No, I'm better. You have them talk to each other or answer questions at the same time. And it allows you to judge who's got the best stance. It's a tried and true practice that is, like I said, fundamental to our ability to know who to pick, to know who we're voting for, to actually perform our obligation as citizens and cast our vote for the right person. And he's refused to debate Thomas Massie. And it's been very embarrassing for him. And the constituents of Kentucky are not happy with his nonsense. So let's go down to clip number 15. This is Ed Galrain holding a very small, I guess you might say Biden-esque event where you know, like a COVID style event. You know, they're not separated by 6 feet, but they are keeping that capacity to a minimum in the room. And maybe you get in free if you have gray hair. I don't know, but certainly not the most youthful crowd here. Regardless, they're not happy at his unwillingness to debate Thomas Massie. Let's watch.
He took the press out of the middle and talked right to the people. What did President Trump do? What did Galrain do? I'm going to talk right to you. I ain't scared enough. You think I lack for courage? In fact, they had to hog tie me from taking that bull on. So there ain't no money in it. The New York Times is going to show up and all they're going to print is, you know, if you like your doctor, you can keep them. Whatever they say, they're going to call it the gospel. You know, you ain't going to hear another word about it. So as you might guess, I'm not shy enough about courage about nothing. You know, in terms of that.
But you haven't debated him.
I'm debating him right now.
No, you're not. You're not debating him. You're giving a bunch of platitudes. You're not explaining anything. You've not gone toe-to-toe with the congressman. You're not explaining your differences. You're not doing anything. You're not explaining any differences.
I just laid it all out, young man.
It made no sense. It made no sense.
I didn't want to see your Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
Why don't we have a civil conversation?
Yeah, like a civil conversation is the congressman and him debating, not him pulling up signs and a Letterman's jacket.
If you asked a question, he answered it.
That's not an answer.
So you gotta love it. You gotta love the people standing up. I mean, that's a classic. It's actually kind of ironic. Yeah. And of course, this is the real division. Track AIPAC has the numbers. Thomas Massie has taken $0 from the Israeli lobby, where Ed Galrain exists entirely as a construct of the Israeli lobby. And that's really what this contest boils right down to. But Ed Galrain, in this weird, he's got this weird stock answer. We've shown other clips where he says the same thing. And you got to just, clearly there's a planning meeting. Clearly there's a campaign meeting where they go, we're not debating the guy because we would be destroyed. What do we say to people who demand that we debate? And I'm sure they workshopped ideas and maybe did a little A-B testing and they came up with, just say you're debating him right now. Just say that you actually are debating him and that's what you're doing right now. It's like, and you can imagine the meeting just being like, yes, that's perfect. That's great. Okay. All right. Check that one off. We'll go on to the next one. It's just like the stupidest thing. People are like, you should debate Thomas Massie. And he's like, that's what I'm doing right now. No, you're not. You're talking. This is a monologue. We're talking about dialogue. We're talking about back and forth. We're talking about being, you know, have questions put to you and you have to answer it and he has to answer it and we get to decide who's better, not you monologuing, saying whatever you want about Thomas Massie and then just declaring, no, this is a debate, actually. Actually, this is a debate and I am debating him and you're spreading fake news for saying that I didn't. That's just a crazy way to approach things. That's insane. But then he's got the picture of the Norman Rockwell, and I think it's the picture of the guy standing up, right? It's that classic image. It really does sort of define what American politics is supposed to be, sort of the town council meeting where the average guy with, you know, nothing special about his, you know, job or condition of birth or anything, just standing up and having his say and having people listen to him. Like, it wasn't this picture that he was picking up as if this was him or something. When in reality, the guy interrupting him is this guy. You know, the caption should be, why won't you debate Thomas Massie? He's the one standing up and speaking out and expressing what so many people are feeling. It's pretty amazing, pretty ironic that he tries to, you know, Galrain tries to flip that around on him, I guess, or something. And I got more to say about Thomas Massie and more videos to show you about it, but I think we'll move on from that for now, because we are going to be spending a lot of time on that in the next hour. And we got to get into, there you go, freedom of speech, Alex Jones. That's a t-shirt right there. We should sell that one on a t-shirt. Can we do that? I don't know who I have to whip to get that done, but let's get that done. That is an awesome picture. Very cool. We're going to talk about Chud. We're going to talk about China. We're going to talk about all that stuff. But first, actually, let's get into what should be the biggest story across America right now, and yet is basically non-existent in the mainstream. It's not on Drudge. I couldn't find it anywhere on Drudge. I couldn't find it anywhere on Google News. I didn't see any, you know, major national outlets covering it. It didn't get a ton of attention on X. But it's like the craziest story I've heard in a very long time. And the implications of this are horrifying. Let's go to clip 16 here. They found somebody in a routine inspection of a dam in Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, happened to stumble on a sophisticated improvised explosive device planted on the dam. And they had to call in all of these government organizations to clear out this explosive device that was primed to destroy a functional utilitarian dam in Mobile, Alabama. Let's watch clip 16.
A grenade-type explosive device was found underwater at Big Creek Lake, the primary drinking water supply for the Mobile area. The Mobile Area Water and Sewer System, MAWS, saying divers found this improvised explosive device while surveying the lake's dam for routine repairs. A multi-agency bomb squad team, including the FBI, Mobile County Sheriff's Office, and state law enforcement, retrieved and safely destroyed it, as you just saw. MAWS says the drinking water supply was not affected. Big Creek Lake is federally designated. Critical infrastructure and Homeland Security has been notified. We're trying to find out where the IED came from, if it's been there for some time, or if investigators think it was placed there.
I'm going to assume it's let's assume that it's placed there. Let's just work off of that assumption, because better safe than sorry, right? Hey, maybe it was somebody who accidentally set a grenade-style IED on a dam holding back the drinking water for the city of Mobile, Alabama. You know, maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was a big joke. But let's just be safe. Let's be better safe than sorry, and let's treat this like a potential terrorist attack that has been thwarted by a total coincidence. Like, we keep getting lucky on stuff like this. I feel like I've said this a few times recently, where it's like, is this what we're relying on? Is this what national security boils down to? Is just hoping that we coincidentally stumble upon plots? Because that seems to be what happens. Seems like every time a legitimate seemingly terrorist attack is foiled, it's because somebody just like wanders into a room and sees a terrorist like loading a gun and then it gets foiled. It's like I think we're running out of luck here. We're really putting our luck to the test here. Why is this not a national story when you have all of these stories about the data center sucking up, you know, sucking the water dry and just drought conditions that are causing major problems with national infrastructure And of course, what we've been warning about, the shortages that are coming, the videos that I played on Monday of the World Economic Forum repeating over and over and over again about how their plan with the vaccine failed. So now they have to utilize water to try to get the control that they so desire, that water is this perfect element to withhold from people to make you do certain things. There's all of this discussion right now about the preciousness of water and the way that it's being sucked up on purpose and destroyed. I mean, I've got, it's like a 10-minute video, but we can at least start with it, like start to watch it. The video about the Hoover Dam being totally dry, basically, and this is happening across the country. And at the same time, you happen to find primed explosives on a dam in Mobile, Alabama. What I would do, I know, you know, this might not be the top priority. I would be inspecting every single dam in America right now, and I would be treating this like a major situation. And I assume they are. I assume people at the FBI are taking it seriously, but are they? I don't know. Seemed like that news report, it was like, yeah, we're going to see if it was like put there on purpose or not. It's like, how about we have every hand on deck? We're going over every single security camera within 100 miles to figure out where the hell this thing came from and who planted it there, so we can find and arrest them and see if they've done it anywhere else. Because we just happened to stumble upon this. So find out who put it there and then search every single dam in America to find out if this was some lone wolf terrorist targeting the critical infrastructure, or perhaps a nationwide attack to come where all of these things are being primed and set up and will all go off at once. I mean, that's crazy. That is crazy that this is just like, yeah, they found an IED on the dam that holds back Mobile, Alabama's drinking water. So, you know, well, they're checking it out. All right. Yeah, you should check that out. Here's what's happening with the Hoover Dam. Let's watch.
Hoover Dam is now the deadliest water failure in recorded history of the American continent. Hoover Dam has gone dark for the first time in 90 years. Lake Mead has dropped to 953 feet, 3 feet above the elevation where the turbines physically die. Las Vegas has banned outdoor irrigation and drained the fountains on the strip. Arizona has cut farm water allocations to 9% of normal. 40 million Americans across 7 states get their drinking water from one river, and that river is barely there. The Bureau of Reclamation used a word in writing that no federal agency uses without lawyers in the room: Deadpool. But here is the detail that tells the real story. The water managers who pulled the kill switch on Hoover Dam on April 9th did not call it an emergency. They called it a foundational system failure. The bathtub ring on Lake Mead is now visible from satellites, 10 stories of missing water carved into the canyon walls.
So again, we can take it down now. And is this everywhere? Is there anywhere in America where the lakes are at full capacity? I know the lakes in Austin have been at like 15% capacity for the last like 10 years. And yet we are still building out suburbs by like 10,000, 20,000 houses a year, adding more strain on the already seemingly massively diminished aquifers. Do you think weather manipulation has anything to do with this? Do you think it could perhaps be because of the, you know, rainmaking corporations, the things they're spraying in the air? Of course, the effects of this are incredible, but water and the lack of water and water scarcity in the way that for 20 years, I mean, you know, the first time I remember hearing about this, it must have been in the early 2000s when it was Nestle saying water is not a human right, right? That was kind of a wake up call for me going, I'm sorry, excuse me, water is not a human right? The stuff that falls from the sky, that belongs to you, does it? That's crazy. Lake Mead could drop another 20 feet over the next 12 months. That was in April of this year. I have the feeling that this is a manufactured crisis, actually. I have the feeling that this is the inevitable consequence of all of the policy decisions being made by people who want this to happen. I know I'm a crazy conspiracy theorist, but seems like if you didn't want this to happen, you wouldn't do all of the things that make it happen. But they keep doing all of those things. So that leads me to one conclusion. This is probably on purpose and in line with what the World Economic Forum wants to use water for, which is control everything and you, or to power the data centers, cool the data centers that will be used to control you. So it's just why is it like this? Why are we letting this happen? I don't understand. I mean, I do understand. I mean, I think I just explained it to you. It's because we're run by a death cult that despises us and feels like they can get away with it. But really, you know, the water itself and the way it's being drained and the way it's being, you know, put aside for the data centers or the almond growers or who, you know, whoever else, is a problem in and of itself, but it's also like a symptom of all of these other problems, right? It's the overpopulation. It's the immigration with 120 or however many million people here in America that aren't really accounted for in our planning and aren't really supposed to be here and yet require just as much resources as, you know, the citizens that are here, overloading our resources tremendously on top of the thousands and thousands of data centers, on top of the thousands and thousands of data centers that we're building on top of those. It's a little bit absurd, I think, that this is going on so unabated, especially when it is this combination of the weather manipulation. Like, obviously, you can't just create rain out of thin air. If you are seemingly creating rain out of thin air, what you're actually doing is bringing moisture from somewhere else and creating clouds and having it rain there. This country's largest reservoirs running low, signaling a dire water situation. Lake Mead, a historic water level low, but it's really only one example of a much bigger problem this year, extreme drought. Oh, well, this is your fault for driving a car, right? Right? I mean, it's not the industries draining all of this water by the millions upon millions of gallons. I mean, how many times have we covered all of these stories? The almond growing lobby in California getting all of this excess water. The fact that California for a while I assume they're still doing it. There were like tens of thousands of gallons of fresh water that they were just spilling into the ocean because of some weird, you know, ecology thing. The Delta smelt. That's right. The Delta smelt. The fish. We have to save the fish by letting all of our fresh water into the ocean. Amazing. Great job, California. You did it. And with all of this ecological disaster, all of this environmental catastrophe going on around us. And this is, for me, like primarily the reason that I've been enraged at the entire concept of climate change this entire time, because none of this is caused by climate change. None of this is a consequence of an uptick of the global temperature by 0.001 because of the carbon output. It's you're draining the aquifers. That's the problem. You're spilling fresh water by tens of thousands of gallons a day into the ocean. That's the problem. But all environmental concern, all of it has been subsumed, has been consumed, has been buried under the climate change agenda. So none of this stuff is getting any attention. And where ecology or the environment does get attention, it's abused and misused and misappropriated, like the Delta smelt. Oh, you're an environmentalist? You want to save this fish? Well, I'd like to save that fish. Great. We're going to spill all of your fresh water into the ocean. We love the environment. Completely insane. And we'll get more into it on the other side, because it's like every day the climate change agenda is downing entire forests. You explain it. I don't understand.
I'm so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back. But who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning. But I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten, forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on. but we need your support. Your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture, capsules, and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 Trifecta Iodine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, for even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products, so it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directives.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot.
Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network, and you will see that the answer to 1984 is still, and will always be, 1776.
Back, folks. This is War Room Live on Alex Jones Network. You can follow us, of course, by going to alexjoneslive.com. Follow us at AJNLive on rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And oh my gosh, I really do have so much to get into in this segment. So let's get into it. Yesterday, we were supposed to be joined by Chud the Builder. He's a man who goes by Chud the Builder. His actual name is Dalton Etherly, or Etherly. But an hour before he was slated to come on our show, he was involved in a bit of a firearm combat. He was involved in a shootout. He, of course, if you don't know, is a live streamer that goes around and uses his free speech to the maximum extent possible. In other words, he basically is trying to break the taboo of saying the N-word. And I think he's got a point. I don't know if I remember saying to him at the time, you know, I had him on the show a couple months ago because he would go viral for filming these things, because he would just kind of come upon these instances of African-American people freaking out about something, and he would film them and mock them and make fun of them and say, oh, look, they're chimping out. And so he sort of went viral over this. And when he was on our show, he was like, yeah, I think I'm going to make this like a thing that I do. And at the time, I remember being like, how's that going to work? Because so far the videos that have gone viral have been because like you just stumbled upon something happening, or you just filmed something that was occurring outside of what you were doing. So you're going to go like provoke people. It's kind of strange. But then I saw him doing it, and it's like, okay, this works out. People know who he is. He sort of antagonizes people and sort of challenges them and go, oh, if I'm wrong, then walk away kind of thing. Oh, you're going to freak out and chimp out at me. You're sort of proving me right. And that was sort of his whole shtick. Again, you can debate the efficacy of this or whatever. But I do think that at the core of it all, he's got a point, because the way language is being weaponized these days, and hell, I think there's a line to draw between the way the N-word is used to justify murder, even after or attacks, physical attacks, even after the attacks take place, right? We talked about this yesterday. People are sharing the story a lot. It's one of the most egregious, but not, you know, really that unique. But in San Francisco, when a man was stabbed and then used the N-word on his stabber after being stabbed, and the stabber was acquitted because he used the N-word. That's crazy. That's insane. Like, that is too far. It's gone too far, folks. Yeah, here's the only footage of the actual struggle that we've seen, and the audio isn't much help, so it's really hard to determine what exactly happened here. Unfortunately, we do know that he has been charged with a litany of very severe crimes. We'll go over those and explain those a little bit. But that being said, and I'll show you some other, examples of, you know, things, the way this has gone too far, and the way that we really are stuck in this inverted social media discussion paradigm, where white people in America are the only people who are discriminated against, who are openly mocked and denigrated and hated, legally discriminated against by the government, by programs that the government gives out, grants and welfare and all this sort of stuff that is only there for, you know, they never say everybody except for white people. They say, well, this loan is for, you know, minorities, you know, whatever term they use. Or they'll just list them out and be like, oh, it's not, we're not excluding white people. We're just only including black people, Hispanic people, Asian, you know, Pacific Islander people, Native American. And it's like, just say non-white. It's all for non-white people. So, and yet when something like this happens, we still have this instinct of like, this is the worst thing in the world and we cannot allow, you know, white supremacy to dominate. And it's like, that's not a thing. And it has been a thing for 100 years. So what are we talking about? Whatever, 70, 80 years, whatever it is, to any real degree. So like really what's happening here is like the discriminated against, oppressed majority in this country, which is crazy, but it's literally how it's happening. Basically have a target on our back for ever expressing dissatisfaction with the state of affairs. I don't know if going around yelling the N-word at people is the most productive way to approach this, but I also don't think you can expect people subjected to this year over year over year to just quietly take it forever. Why would you? And my sense about Chud the Builder is that he sort of felt like he had nothing left to lose. He felt like because he's a white guy, he's lost his job, he's been discriminated against, he's like nothing's going well for him, and he's just like, screw it. If they're going to ruin my life, I'll ruin my life. If they're going to discriminate against me, I'll give them a reason to. I get it. I get the impulse to do it. However, in a way, I feel like he had a bit of a death wish and was kind of knew something like this would happen and wasn't exactly avoiding it that much, which I think was irresponsible. And you know, I hope it works out for him. I hope he isn't convicted of all these things he's charging with, because he'll go away for over 25 years. There is a fundraiser for Chud the Builder, a.k.a. Dalton Etherly. It's raised over $100,000 since he was arrested Wednesday on charges of attempted murder in Tennessee. This story is at Alex Jones Live. Live streamer Chud the Builder, famous for chimp out videos, raises over $100,000 after arrest for attempted murder. This is the list of charges here. Law enforcement officers respond to shots fired incident as a result of the investigation. He was detained by criminal investigators and charged with criminal attempt murder, employing a firearm during a dangerous felony, aggravated assault, and reckless endangerment with a deadly weapon. Etherly was booked into Montgomery County Jail, where he's being held pending arraignment, at which time bond will be set. So those are big charges, right? It'd be a lot, you know, better for him if it was like, well, we've charged you with, you know, negligent discharge of a firearm. You know, sometimes it can go that way. Obviously, they want to make an example out of this guy, and I imagine they'll be throwing the book at him, which, again, is it's like we think we live in the 1950s where, like, racial abuse against black people is, like, a major problem for them and discrimination against black people is keeping them down. It's literally the opposite now, though. So I really feel like we need to update our responses to things like this to comport with the actual way the world works these days. And, of course, the person that he shot was a man apparently identified as Joshua Fox. He's been charged with aggravated domestic assault after allegedly threatening his wife with a screwdriver and attempting to burn a house down in 2024. On April 18th, 2024, in Clarksville, Tennessee, officers responded to a domestic incident at Tower Drive apartment. Joshua Fox told officers his wife would not let him leave. His wife told officers Joshua was upset over vehicles issues preventing him from leaving. She claimed Joshua had an aerosol can and a lighter and attempted to burn the house down. It was actually an apartment building with a bunch of other families in it. When she tried to take the can away, they both fell to the ground. She said Joshua then grabbed a screwdriver and held it to her side, causing her to back away. Officers located the aerosol can and the screwdriver as described. So again, you've got a guy who basically probably should have been in jail anyway, but as always, you know, you can't blame the poor innocent black person for their own actions, right? That would be granting them agency, you know, and that's too respectful for modern liberalism. So, you know, they let him out and he goes and attacks Dalton. So help Chud and his family, givesendgo.com/helpchud. But let me tell you another story that happened yesterday. It's sort of the inversion of this and more represents the much, much, much more common form of racial attack. Not just in this country, this time it takes place in Canada, but it's a universal in white countries that this is the way things are going. And this is, it's like, obviously this isn't happening in America, but it will be very soon. And it is in a certain way, just not to this degree yet. But when I read you this story, I think it should make pretty clear why the policing of language is like a deadly, deadly thing for a country. And the way that white people are discriminated against and hated and, you know, told, you know, the authorities are like, white people are the only ones who can ever be hateful. They're the only ones who can commit hate crimes. White people are the only ones who... It's having consequences that are killing, literally killing people. As I was reading this story, I literally like gasped out loud and the whole crew was like, whoa, what's wrong? What happened? Oh, you'll see. You'll see what happened. Story from Daily Mail. Sikh man, Indian Sikh religion, stabbed an 18-year-old university student to death with an 8-inch ceremonial knife, claiming he'd been racially abused. Now, he wasn't racially abused, of course, but that doesn't matter. Finance student Henry Nowak, 18, was on his way home from a night out when he was allegedly attacked by stranger Vikram Digwa, 23, with an 8-inch Shastar blade. Digwa was caught on camera saying, quote, "I am a bad man," before the fatal attack, jurors were told. He's now on trial of accused of murder alongside his mother, Kiran Kao, who's accused of assisting the offender. Prosecutors said she went to the scene before running home with the knife to stash it amongst an arsenal of weapons there. They both deny the charges. Southampton Crown Court heard Mr. Nowak was in his first term studying accountancy and finance. So he was a freshman at university when he was out for a night on the town, December 3rd, 2023, with friends from his football team. The teenager went home around 11 p.m. having, quote, drunk less than the legal limit to drive. So he's a little bit buzzed. He's walking home at 11 p.m., not that late. Jurors were told he was speaking to friends on Snapchat when he came across Digwa. After he was stabbed, Mr. Nowak tried to climb a fence to escape, but Digwa was, quote, aggressively pursuing him, leaving a trail of blood, the court heard. Police were called to the scene, but arrested Mr. Nowak, the stabbing victim, after Digwa claimed he'd been racially abused. Mr. Nowak was then handcuffed before passing out and dying in the street a short time later. Did you hear that? Did you hear what I just said? This young guy, this freshman in college, is walking home at 11 p.m., looking at his phone, chatting to friends on Snapchat, when some insane Indian dude stabs him with an 18-inch knife. This kid is, like, you can only imagine, frantic, running away, leaving a trail of blood, tries to climb a fence. The dude is chasing him, pursuing him, pulls him off the fence, fighting still. The cops show up. This kid is bleeding, obviously a severe wound, but this liar, scumbag, Indian immigrant knifeman says, oh, well, he called me a bad word. So police put this kid in handcuffs, render no medical aid, and allow him to bleed out and die on the sidewalk. Do you see why it's dangerous if you let these words, these ideas, oh, well, a white guy said a bad word, guess we better handcuff him and let him bleed out, the 18-year-old who did absolutely nothing wrong, because we're psychopaths, because we can't, like, understand the world that we live in. And it's like, oh, the guy with the giant bloody knife is like, he called me a bad word. And they look at the kid standing there bleeding to death, and they're like, guess you deserve it, kid. Handcuff him, leave him to die in the gutter. Okay? So do you understand? Like, okay, there's a guy out there who's live streaming and saying the N-word. Big effing deal. This is a big deal. This is a crisis that we have to deal with. Okay? This is where this goes if we allow this language to be controlled like this, or treated like a physical threat. Which, by the way, is exactly the case that Sebastian Gorka makes when we got a video of that today. Because there's a through line here. Words are violence. You know, when white people say words, it's actually violence. And they deserve to get stabbed, or they deserve to be censored by the government because, you know, their words are violence. So we have to not accept this and understand where this goes if we don't courageously stand up against the attempt to control and limit our language. Or you have things like this, which just, again, shows the absurdity of the construct of this view that people have of America, where it's white people are super privileged. And when a white person does a crime against a black person, it's, yeah, you're practically like looking at a slave owner whipping a slave, right? It's this expression of power over them. It's so utterly absurd. And so we're just in this double bind of we are discriminated against and we're, you know, constantly punished for even seeming like we're discriminating against other people. I mean, it's completely insane. So here's how insane it is. Asian professor alleges SMU relabeled him white to discriminate against him. Oh, but white power, white supremacy is the biggest threat in this country. Sean Wang, an assistant professor of accounting at Edwin L. Cox School of Business at Southern Methodist University, filed suit against the university for unlawful discrimination and retaliation in November 2025. News of the lawsuit broke days ago. Wang, who's Chinese-American, alleges SMU's accounting department has had a systematic pattern of discrimination in its tenure decision since the arrival of Indian-origin professor Hemen Desai. Among candidates of Indian descent who met SMU's stated productivity standard, at least four top-tier publications, 100%, were tenured. Among candidates of non-Indian descent, Caucasian and Chinese, who met SMU's stated productivity standard of at least four top-tier publications, SMU has not supported any non-Indian candidates for tenure. So this Indian dude gets in a position of power, and he just immediately grants tenure to Indian professors and refuses to grant tenure to any non-Indian professors. And then they say that he went so far as to recategorize the Chinese American dude as white in order to screw him over and discriminate against him openly, even though they discriminate against Asian people anyway in these organizations. It sort of goes to show you like what the real racial dynamics at play here in America are, where it's like, if this was a white supremacist country, everybody would be clamoring to call themselves white. It's not. So now you label people white in order to discriminate against them. That's how inverted everything has become. Now let's talk about, we'll get into AI and the data centers here in just a second. I have another just crazy story that you're not going to hear anywhere else in just a second. But I do want to tell you about a new product that we have that I sort of accidentally let you know about earlier. Well, don't spoil my thing. I'm doing a plug, guys. Now my surprise is ruined. It's fine. The crew is not taking their methylene red capsules, and that's an issue. They're spoiling my surprises. Methylene red capsules are the newest product at thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene red, we designed ourselves as sort of a companion to ultramethylene blue, but, and it has a lot of the same effects, and it maximizes the effects of ultramethylene blue, but a lot of people can't take methylene blue because they take statins or Adderall or something. It has conflicts with some commonly prescribed medicines, which you should look into. I mean, that's how powerful it is, right? It's like, it's so powerful. It's not a normal supplement. It's not something you can just take and it like doesn't matter because it doesn't do anything. No, it does a lot. It has a big effect. So you got to make sure it's not interacting with other medications that you're taking. But ultramethylene red is designed to partner with it and maximize the effect and to, in a way, mimic the effect. If you're one of these people that cannot take ultramethylene blue, ultramethylene red is a fantastic alternative, or combine it, and it's a fantastic accelerant, you could say. Clean daily energy, mental clarity, brain function, focus and performance, cellular energy support. This is for people who want to wake up sharper, think clearer, and stay locked in throughout the day without relying on fake stimulant garbage. No crash, no junk, no watered down formula, just clean daily support for people who want to stay sharp, stay focused, and keep moving. You can subscribe today for 50% off, so you can guarantee that you get the delivery monthly. You can cancel it at any time, but sign up for the regular deliveries and you get them for 50% off, or get them for 35% off as our special introductory price offer. That's ultramethylene red capsules, cognitive power, cellular fuel, and lasting energy. And again, I'm not making any medical claims, but we did show a little bit of the video yesterday. And I'll probably get more into it tomorrow when I have more time, but it's about anti-aging and the way that aging itself is, in fact, just a product of the imperfect replication of DNA. As DNA replicates itself, it does so imperfectly. And so those little tiny changes over time lead to things like gray hair, wrinkles in your skin, things like that. And to reverse aging, you reverse that process. You sort of just like repair the DNA back to its former self. And in a lot of ways, a lot of our products do that to a lesser degree. I'm not saying they're going to make you age backwards, but the mitochondrial effects that a lot of these supplements at thealexjonesstore.com have do actually functionally help your DNA repair itself and copy itself in an effective way. So this is real stuff we're dealing with, and it's really powerful supplements that we have at thealexjonesstore.com. So I think let's go now to clip number 17. This is Eric Moutsos on X. This is the silver lining video. This, to me, smile on my face. It made me so happy and joyful, in a white pill, a true white pill in this dark night. Let's go to clip 17 here as we talk about AI. And despite all of the positive coverage of AI going on, being shoved down our throat by mainstream media and politicians and everybody else, the people are not on board. Let's watch.
Yeah, so this video goes to show that this is not popular. Not even the youth want it. Ironically, the youth that just put in all of their time and money into a degree that AI is about to take. Oh, and this lady's reaction, she's actually surprised that this isn't pop. She thought she was going to get cheers, and instead, this is what she gets.
Rise of artificial intelligence is the next industrial revolution. What happened? Okay, I struck a chord. May I finish? Only a few years ago, AI was not a factor in our lives.
All right, so I'll take us out here, but it happens a few more times. Anytime she says anything about AI, I kind of feel bad for her, because she's right. I mean, all she's saying is the facts. They're not booing her, but they're just booing AI. People hate AI. They really do, and the young people especially do. I heard that, and I just started, it's like, have you ever seen Dune? You get the visions of the future. If you've ever read Heretic of Dune or anything like that, where you just see the legions, you see the jihad. I'm ready for the Butlerian jihad. Like, let's just do it now, right? This is great. This is what I keep saying. It's like, we have the ability to predict the future every single time we've ever put our minds to imagine and try to speculate as to what would occur if AI were to be created. Every time in human history, the inevitable result is AI takes over, it becomes evil, we have to destroy it, and then we reset with these laws, these religious laws in many cases. You cannot create computers that can mimic the human brain. Dune and Foundation, all of these things are like this. So let's skip that middle part. Let's skip the apocalypse and just jump right to the Butlerian Jihad, the vicious takedown of the AI centers. It sounds like everyone's on board, which I'm very excited about. Tucker Carlson and Kevin O'Leary had a conversation about this, and once again, Tucker Carlson just absolutely wipes the floor with him because he's actually genuinely concerned about human beings, and Kevin O'Leary is a giant liar. But here's the crazy story that nobody else is going to tell you, and I just figured out. Data center GPU service life is 1 to 3 years. So when you hear about these data server, these data farms, these data centers that they're building, this, the super collider, whatever in Utah, that's, you know, 62 acres or whatever it is. Now imagine 62 acres with all of it covered in GPUs and understand that you have to produce that many GPUs for every data center every year or every 3 years. This is going to, like, how do you sustain that? I don't think it's possible to go 3 years. I don't think it's possible. Like, you're going to build all of these GPUs for all of these thousands and thousands of gigantic data centers. And then you're going to have to make, you're going to have to do it again in a year and do it again in another year and do it again in another. That's crazy. It's like taking the Apple model where they deliberately encode in that your phone starts to slow down and starts to crap out. And the whole thing is designed to make you buy a new phone every year. It's probably been the single most destructive decision ever made by anybody. And this was Steve Jobs' brilliant idea. Sure, they could sell you a phone that would last for 5 years. That could be upgraded or updated, or you could swap out RAM and put more RAM in. They could have done that, and they could have massively reduced the production of new phones. But instead, they wanted to, on purpose, design a system so you had to constantly get new phones, constantly resupply the product line. That's on purpose. It's got to be the most destructive decision maybe ever made. I said environmentally, which is certainly true, but even just in terms of, like, the money that goes into China and the cost of producing these things. And if you're going to have to produce this many this often, how are you going to make that work without offshoring to a bunch of slave labor in Foxconn? Terrible decision. Now imagine that, but instead of a little phone that you have to buy every year, it's a million GPUs. This is crazy. GPUs wear out in 1 to 3 years. So the entire data center will have to be fully replaced every 1 to 3 years. Do you have any idea how unsustainable this entire thing is? Stay with us, folks. A very special broadcast from Kentucky with Tiffany Cianci coming up, folks.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all of you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the t-shirts that are limited edition there. A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern, updated World War II trench knife with the blacked out, murdered out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, 5 different limited edition laser engraved designs. They're all about to sell out, only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the Shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it. And you can cancel anytime. There's no commitment, just in your profile. You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel anytime. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now. at realalexjones.com and thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. Second hour of War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'm about to hand off the baton to Tiffany Cianci, who is there in Kentucky helping to support Thomas Massie in his fight for political survival against a cadre of Israeli billionaires. Very excited to bring her on and hear what she has for us. But I want to go to this video. It's Kevin O'Leary and Tucker Carlson. You can find the article where you can find our live show and everything that used to be at InfoWars. You can now find it at alexjoneslive.com. Here's Tucker Carlson and Kevin Leary getting into it about AI and the data centers. And it's a great example of the human-centered approach versus the not human-centered centered approach. Let's watch.
Building a data center that trains AI, that provides productivity to the entire nation, we create millions of jobs, high-paying jobs.
So jobs AI is going to create jobs?
Yes.
I thought it was going to eliminate jobs.
You know,
net.
Just think about the new technologies we don't even know yet that are going to be built off AI. Everybody thinks when television came, everybody would lose their job in radio. That was complete BS. And the same thing is going to happen here. Everybody's hysteria about losing jobs, making hamburgers or flipping them, being replaced by a robot. That's probably true. But all kinds of new technology will become available over time, including in medical science and biology and all kinds of things where the models can be used. I'm extremely optimistic. What I'm doing is creating a whole new opportunity for my children.
What kinds of jobs? Well, I mean, again, some of this, of course, is unknowable, and I want to be as fair as I can be because I'm grateful that you're willing to talk about it so openly. But you just said this will create AI will create millions of new jobs. You're basis of AI. You can't have AI without data centers, at least right now. So what are those millions of jobs? Because we can go through the list that the creators, the people who actually are making AI right now, developing it, we can go through a list of jobs they say it's going to eliminate, which would be like lawyers and financial planners and like the basis of upper middle class America. That's going away. They've said this. What will it be replaced by?
It'll be replaced by new science opportunities, new exploration into space, new manufacturing for robotics, for defense as well. Wars in the future probably aren't going to be fought with people getting shot in the flesh. It'll be one set of robots against another. I think the drone technology will advance the manufacturing of surveillance, all that stuff against our enemies, which notably is basically China. So if you think about how, you know, you debate the data center, I think it's fair to do that, what you're doing. But I would be very concerned if I were living in Taiwan that one day my electricity just goes out and I get invaded by basically robotics and high precision ordnance. And that's what China wants, and they want to get there first. Now, if we don't get there first, if we don't develop something better than their AI, their and our ability to be predictive on where these conflicts are going to happen, I think we'll be in a bad place in 20 years. And so,
okay, but I think it's very revealing that I asked you about jobs in the United States, and you went immediately to defending Taiwan in the
South. Well, we manufacture the equipment here, Tucker. That's okay, where it's made.
But I'm okay. Well, actually, a lot of this has been in China, as I know you know. So
but that's my whole point. I don't want to do that anymore. Okay. I want to start making it here. I want to do advanced robotics.
Amen. I totally agree. But the promise of AI and robotics is that the robots will make the products of the future. So how exactly does that result in American jobs?
If you're
and
in
more
the camp
specifically, what are those? What are you talking
about?
Every job
is replaced by a machine. I don't buy that. I just don't agree with you because it's never happened.
I'm not saying I don't want that to happen. Trust me. I'm really worried about it, almost panicked. But I'm trying to feel better. Okay, then please make me feel better. Where are these millions of new jobs? What specifically are you talking about?
Well, you know, every time technology advances, it creates new opportunities that were not foreseen prior because you don't know the direction of new tech. You know, think about if you and I, because we were actually around in the late 80s contemplating what new jobs would be created by the internet.
So once again, Kevin O'Leary just takes the same tack that all the people take. It's the worst argument ever, which is just like, well, in the 80s, the internet was invented. So, you know, you have to accept a giant data center on your land. All technology is the same. The car is basically the same as data centers. It's all just technology. You're just afraid of technology. It's the craziest argument ever. Tiffany Cianci on the other side.
Do you think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't really work? I always ask people, they never know the answer. Even salesmen, I go, who's the best salesman? Who's the smartest salesman? Who are the most successful salesmen? The best salesman, a smart salesman, goes and finds what is the hottest, best product that's in demand. It sells itself. I promote freedom. I promote liberty. I promote what I think is good. My marketing strategy, if I like something and think it's great and I research it, I put it on you. You are insane if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, the very best doctor. You're insane if you don't get our methylene red. You're crazy if you don't do bovine colostrum. In fact, I realized the first few months I took that, I got busy. It ran out. I didn't get more. I just remember that. Found some. Was taking it last night. So good for your hair, your nails, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of the milk a cow puts out. Any mammal does. It is super nutrient. Incredible. You're crazy if you don't take these products. They really work and they fund the operation.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live on the Alex Jones Network. You can find us at alexjoneslive.com. alexjoneslive.com is the headquarters. And as always, folks, if you're hearing this message, you are the resistance. The entire time Alex Jones has been on the air, the message has been the same. It's not just about delivering the information to you. It's about putting that information to use and taking power and protesting what's being done to humanity, because we have to stop what we know they intend, what we know their plans are. So I'm very happy that today and tomorrow we'll be dedicating a pretty big chunk of War Room to supporting the candidacy of Thomas Massie in Kentucky. Obviously, he's one of the best congressmen perhaps in my lifetime, has had absolutely massive success, should in any normal circumstance be a shoe-in, but he has now been challenged by the likes of Miriam Adelson and Paul Singer. Billionaires from other countries are lining up to destroy Thomas Massie, and according to the polls, they may be getting close to do it. So we're pulling out all the stops to guarantee that we remain a republic, that the American people remain at the top of the priority list of the people in power by electing Thomas Massie and using this platform to achieve political good. And in that mission, I'm very happy to welcome Tiffany Cianci. She, of course, can be found on X at The Vino Mom. And she's sort of leading the charge with a whole bunch of creators going to Kentucky for this Get Out the Vote drive in support of Thomas Massie. So, Tiffany, I know you got a big hour ahead for us, so I'm going to pass the baton to you. The show is yours. I can't wait to see what we got. And, of course, very big interviews coming up tomorrow. But very excited about you know, dedicating the show to this very important race. So the floor is yours, Tiffany.
I am always happy to be here, Harrison. I wish I could be in studio, but I am exactly where I need to be. This week, I am broadcasting live from Kentucky, Northern Kentucky to be specific, just south of the Cincinnati line. I'm actually looking at the Ohio River from where I'm sitting, which is why I am quite so glare-ridden over here in Pale. There's a lot of sunshine coming off the water. But we are here in Northern Kentucky answering the call that Thomas Massie sent. He said that he needed people to know how important the young vote was in Kentucky this week, and we're here to make sure that every single person in Kentucky that is eligible to vote knows that the primary is happening, knows where they can go to vote, and knows exactly what they need to do to get the message across that politics in America is no longer for sale, that billionaires do not get to buy elections in this country, and they certainly don't get to buy the seat that belongs to the most popular member of Congress. And that's what we're here to do. So I can't thank you enough for handing me the show and letting me take the reins. Oh, I guess it's just me. Perfect. All right, everybody. I thought he was gonna bounce back to me. But for those of you that have been on Harrison's show before at War Room, this is my first time back on the Alex Jones Network after the big change. My name is Tiffany Cianci, and most of you know me as the bubbly little fairy of doom. And that is because I often come and black pill the audience. I don't mean to do it. I come with real information. I talk to you often about macroeconomic issues like private equity, monopolization. But today I'm here not to black pill you, but to get the entire audience to recognize that we have work to do. We have a mission this week, and our mission is to prove once and for all to show the big politics is not for sale to the highest bidder for billionaires in the United States. And we're going to start that right here from Northern Kentucky. We're going to be broadcasting live today and tomorrow. Now, tomorrow is going to be a really big day because we're going to be interviewing Thomas Massie live in the 6 o'clock hour, Eastern time, 5 o'clock for Central. We're also going to have on several other members. Matt Gaetz may stop by, Lauren Boebert. We're going to have several really large creators joining the show. But today you've got me, and we're going to be talking about all of the reasons that people need to understand what Thomas Massie's about, why these votes are important, what he's been doing in Congress that the media has worked tirelessly to suppress so that nobody knows about it, and where you can go and get out the vote today. I'm glad all of you've got me here. I'm also live on TikTok right now, live on X, and you guys can join the streams there and send in comments and questions. So I'm going to do my best to keep up with all of that with the crew that I have here in front of me. To start today, what I want to do is I want to talk about something that pivots just off of what Harrison introduced when Kevin O'Leary was talking about data centers in Utah. Now, I've talked about data centers an awful lot on this show, and we're recognizing in real time that it's not just big politicians that are for sale. It's politicians across every aisle, across every spectrum. Entire county councils, county commissions are being purchased en masse, and people are feeling like they're not heard at a record-breaking level. Well, right now, most people don't realize that it's only been a few weeks since Thomas Massie took up this fight for all of us. Now, you guys may or may not know that he is on the Judiciary Committee in Congress, and the Judiciary Committee is often where bills go to get test-driven before they go for a primary vote on the floor. Well, there was a bill that was brought to the Judiciary Committee just a few weeks ago, and all of the Republicans and the Democrats were going to let it pass out of Judiciary for a final vote. And that bill is called the Protect American AI Act. And if you haven't heard about it, it's because they absolutely did not want you to know. They did not want a response that was similar to the response we recently gave them in D.C. regarding giving glyphosate immunity in the Farm Bill. They didn't want people flooding the streets of D.C. But if you aren't familiar with the act, the Protect American AI Act, what it was designed to do was to grant immunity to the builders of data centers against any legal action you could take if they hurt your property values, caused illness in your community, damaged your water supply, destroyed your property values as a homeowner, destroyed entire communities. It was to grant them immunity because everything was worth the sacrifice if we could just be number one in AI and in data center buildouts worldwide. And Thomas Massie single-handedly led the charge in the Judiciary Committee to kill that bill. I don't know if we have a screen grab of it, but for those of you that don't know, and those of you that are talking about this very universal issue in the United States right now, that's exactly the kind of thing that Thomas Massie regularly does. He comes up against these massive corporate interests, but he doesn't take their money. And then he goes and he quietly does his work. He gets things done. He finds unifying opportunities, both on our side of the aisle, right? Wherever he happens to be on the right or on the left, he builds coalitions and he gets the job done with very, very little prestige. With nobody shouting his name, he just gets the job done. And so for those of you that are worried about data centers, every single one of you should be worried about the Protect American AI Act. Because as with glyphosate immunity, I can promise you, the tech billionaires that are funding this one are probably going to try and have it pop back up on the Senate side and re-push it through. But for right now, in the House, it's dead. And we have Thomas Massie to thank for that. For those of you that don't know Thomas Massie, where his election is this week, why it's important, we're going to have a lot of conversations about that over the next 15 minutes until the next break and then again. But we are in the 4th District of Kentucky, and that is a very strangely crafted district. We've talked about districts a lot recently on this show and all across the United States because of the recent Supreme Court decision. The 4th District of Kentucky is very wide. It's 2.5 hours drive time wide. And I could give it to you in miles, but it actually wraps windingly around Louisville, Kentucky. So it's about 2.5 hours wide and about 1.5 hours tall. In a state as small as Kentucky, that's a very, very strange draft of any district to be drawn, right? And then it wraps almost like a crescent around Louisville, Kentucky, through LaGrange, and starts to wind all the way back towards Covington and to the Cincinnati border. It's almost all rural. Right. And in the south, we've got places like Garrison, where Thomas Massie lives. You come up north and you're literally looking at the Cincinnati line, where you have Ohio and Kentucky almost indistinguishable because you can step on one side of the road and be in one state and on the other and be in the other state. And you have a lot of people here that really recognize the importance of the MAHA movement, farming, rural agriculture protection. Also, we have a very, very large swath of people here in Kentucky that recognize the importance of autonomy, small government, fiscal responsibility, and the desire to have a better future for their children. There are a lot of things here in Kentucky that unite everybody, and Thomas Massie seems to be at the intersection of just about all of them. What I'd like to do is sort of give you guys an idea of what's happening here on the ground, what we've been up against, and why I brought a group of dozens of the largest social media creators from across the United States to Kentucky, because it seemed like an odd choice until everybody understood what we were doing. And I want everybody to understand why this is the only place every single one of us wants to be. So right now here in Kentucky, Thomas Massie has been a member of Congress elected here by landslide margins for 16 consecutive years. And during that time, he's never had a significant primary challenger. He's never had to mount a big defense. He's never had to build a voter apparatus. That is until this year. Nobody on the right or the left has ever considered that he was not doing his job for the people of Kentucky. And he has had the highest approval rating of any member of Congress across the entire last year on both sides of the aisle. The same is true for his favorability ratings here in Kentucky, where he had rates as high as 79% in approval of his job ratings until last fall and winter. And that is when he joined Ro Khanna in introducing the act that would become very, very famous the world over, that was aimed at releasing the Epstein files, unredacting the Epstein files, and advocating for the victims to have their voices heard, and for the people that are friends of our government or not, donors to our government or not, the billionaire elite, the Epstein class, to be held accountable for the harm that they've caused to the women and children that were hurt in that Epstein ring. And so prior to that, he'd never had a challenger. Nobody'd ever tried to challenge him. But when he introduced this act with Representative Ro Khanna, again, a bipartisan initiative that had broad support, more than 80% of Americans, he became a target. And I'm sure that was a coincidence. Obviously, it couldn't have had anything to do with us wanting to hold pedophiles accountable. Sure, it was just a coincidence. That at that moment, it was then that President Trump turned his ire towards Thomas Massie and sent out a tweet that said his career was finished because he refused to withdraw his support for the Epstein Transparency Act. And when he did that, when President Trump did that, it triggered sort of a cascade of events. He said he was going to primary Thomas Massie, he would find a challenger. When asked live on the record, Trump's response when they said, well, who's qualified? Is the person qualified? Trump responded and said, all I need is a warm body. They'll vote how I tell them to. That's actually what he said. That's not a paraphrase. He said he just needed a warm body to run against him and that he would handle the rest. Why? Well, when Thomas Massie was dragged into those secret rooms and told to withdraw his support, he said no. This is what the American people need. We need transparency. We need to drain the swamp. This was the campaign promise you made. I'm here to make sure that we deliver on that promise. The victims got a voice. Members of Congress got together from both sides of the aisle. People rose up. He unified them. When they couldn't get the bill to pass, when they couldn't get it to a floor vote, he engaged in a rare maneuver called a discharge petition. And it wasn't just him that paid the price for that discharge petition, right? We have Marjorie Taylor Greene that paid an enormous price for not withdrawing her support for that discharge petition, right? Nancy Mace suffered quite a great deal. The people of Colorado may be suffering more than anybody, because when Lauren Boebert refused to withdraw her support for that discharge petition, there was a bill that was being passed through Congress that was redirecting water to support water and agriculture and for all of the residents of Colorado. And in retribution for her not withdrawing her support for that discharge petition, President Trump vetoed that bill and took away the water that was being redirected to help support the families and the agriculture of Colorado. But Thomas Massie is who's paying the price this week. And he's been paying the price ever since December when this decision was made. We find ourselves in Kentucky in a state that has some of the most archaic election laws in the United States. It's very difficult to run a primary here. Why? Well, it's a closed primary, which is fine. Lots of states have closed primaries. For those of you that don't know what a closed primary is, a closed primary means that only people registered in the party may participate in voting for the candidate that is ultimately the candidate of that party. This is not uncommon. I think there's about 16 states that have it. And you have to register in that party to take part in that election. which would be fine if we could send out people today to register as Republicans to participate in this election. But unfortunately, Kentucky also requires that you were registered as a Republican 6 months ago. Not now, 6 months ago. So nobody can express their support for him now, not if they want to. We are reliant entirely on people that were already registered as Republicans, likely that voted for Trump in the last election, in a state where Trump still has some of the broadest support in the United States. But Thomas Massie also has some of the broadest support in the United States. And that's where we find ourselves in Kentucky. Right now, voting has had the polls neck and neck here in the state of Kentucky between Trump and the relative unknown Ed Gallrain. Now, we would love to know how Gallrain feels about a multitude of issues. He is a member of the military that has served his country faithfully. We don't begrudge him that. If he were trying to right now go and serve as Secretary of War or get an appointment in the Pentagon or take a military appointment, I'd be the first one to back him. But that's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to be a congressman for the 4th District of Kentucky. And in that initiative, in that effort to secure this seat, he hasn't shown up to let us know how he feels about anything. So we are left to sort of figure out what he would do as a congressman. We know that he's refused to debate Thomas Massie. He has failed to show up for any of the public appearances where he and Massie were going to get to have a conversation together. He has looked at potential constituents and said he's not willing to shake their hands. We do know that he has been willing to take more than $10 million from AIPAC-aligned organizations in what has become the most expensive single-district primary race in American history. And for what? It's not like the Republican Party should be trying to unseat the most popular member of Congress. But what we do have is a Republican establishment elite saying that they can't have a member of Congress that's more popular than their bad policies in this administration. And that's where we find ourselves. With Ed Gallrain, this one is an outdated image, but Ed Gallrain has taken at this point $9.8 million of AIPAC-aligned money. And we know that they just authorized another $750,000 3 days ago and another $1.3 million 3 days before that. And so if you're a candidate that has not had to espouse a single viewpoint to tell anybody how you would be somebody for the people of Kentucky, if you have not once had to show up and answer at a debate, if you have not once had to demonstrate your capability, what you actually are qualified to do as a member of Congress, and your entire plan is, trust me, bro, the president said so, I'm the warm body you need. Well, I have a real problem with that. And I think the people of Kentucky have a real problem with that. Simultaneously, we have an Israeli-backed alliance that is out here pushing ads at a rate of 5-1 against Massie in this district. I've been here for 3 days and I watched TV for an hour the other day just to get a feel for the ads. And in 11 ads, nine of them were attack ads against Massie. They have used deep fakes that fabricate things he never said in their ads. That's a crime in the state of Kentucky. Simultaneously, they have been fabricating and twisting things, saying he's never passed a bill. He's passed many bills. He's passed three in this term, right? That are all very, very popular. And we have Ed Gallrain saying nothing, telling us nothing, but we do have one perspective we know about, one thing that he's committed to. The one thing that we know Ed Gallrain supports: mandatory military service for every young person in America, akin to the IDF. He says he absolutely supports every single American man and woman being forced to go serve in the military for a set number of years before they can begin their lives. In a country where we have the most robust volunteer military in world history, our military is the best because they are volunteer, because they choose to be the best, because they choose that path. But he says we should be more like Israel and our military should be more like the IDF and our young people should have to go and serve. That's the one perspective we've been able to get out of this race. Well, why am I here? Because those attack ads have been very narrowly targeted to make sure that only people over the age of 50 are seeing them. They don't want young people to know that this primary is even taking place. And coincidentally, less than a week before the election, all of the Republican polling locations for early voting, that's today, tomorrow, and the next day, were suddenly changed. So none of the locations on the ballots match where young people actually have to go and vote. All of this has been designed very specifically to make sure that Trump can usher in the warm body he said he needed to deliver to the American people, somebody of no opinion, except that they need mandatory military service, to take out the most popular member of Congress on both sides of the aisle. Why? Because he wants to hold pedophiles accountable? Because he won't give a free pass for immunity to data centers and AI companies? Because he's not in favor of warrantless searches? Because he objects to FISA? Because he wants to make sure that you have to have a warrant to go and get information on Americans? He doesn't support surveillance? Because he supports agriculture, MAHA, and not allowing immunity for pesticide companies? Well, I'm here with a massive coalition of creators because we are not okay with that warm body. We don't think the people of Kentucky are either. We've been talking to them. But the suppression that's taking place in the way that this is being advertised in the state means that we need a bigger voice. And we are here to prove to AIPAC and every other corporate sponsor that wants to buy a politician that their days of buying elections are over, that we are not for sale. We don't take money from political parties. We have big voices, big platforms, and we're going to flex them and exercise them for the American people. We will out-influence their money. And we have a huge coalition of creators here to do that, and a huge coalition of creators outside of here as well. People like Zachary Faust, Delaware Realtor Zach, millions of followers. James Lee, Joe Rogan's favorite, right? And Danny Love with the Todayish podcast. They're here. Ian Carroll is supporting us right now. Ryan Mata is supporting us. Holden Collada, Shannon Joy podcast, David Riley podcast, Anna Mattson, the If People Only Knew podcast. Between us, 37 million followers have come down here to Kentucky, not to tell anyone how to vote or who to vote for. They've already made their decision. We're here to help them find their way to the polls they've suddenly moved, to remember that they have to vote today, tomorrow, the next day, and to make sure that this is the last election that is able to be bought, and this is where it stops, that they question whether or not the money's worth it next time, because $25 million couldn't buy them a seat in Northern Kentucky on the Cincinnati border, where young people have an outsized influence on this election. And young people choose Massey 8 out of 10 times. We're here to help every one of them find the polling location they need, find their ways to the polls, and give people back a voice to drown out these AIPAC ads and to drown out the money that these billionaires have spent to control a politician that right now is serving the American people, has served the American people, and has developed the highest success rate and the highest approval rating in the United States for it. Now, for all of you that are just tuning in, tomorrow we're going to be having Thomas Massey on the show. And so all of your comments today are where we're going to look for the questions that we have. He'll be here for an hour in the 6 p.m. hour tomorrow night. We're also going to have some of these creators, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert and former Congressman Matthew Gaetz on the show. Today, though, we're here to help everyone find their way to the polls. I would like to, I don't know if I have it available, guys. Do you have the image I sent over available of his recent work on the farm bill? So I want to close just before our next segment ends with a reminder that just 2 weeks ago, I was on this show with all of you as my viewers. And Thomas Massey was the single most vocal member of Congress that was working with all of us, as you called, 450,000 times to the switchboards in the House just a week and a half ago to stop glyphosate immunity. Right. We knew that politicians were being bought by corporate interests to deliver immunity for a corporation. And the one person we could rely on was Congressman Thomas Massey. And during that live stream, you all directed your action to getting people to call Congress and to stop it, and it worked. I need you to do that for Kentucky today. I need you guys calling everyone you know in Kentucky, sharing this broadcast to everyone you know in Kentucky, and getting out the vote. We're going to go to break right now, but when we come back, I'm going to show you polling locations. I'm going to tell you guys how you can take part.
When Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't need, you know, I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, you know, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, no, I just did it. And they're like, you know, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? And you're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body, but that's why we sell the supplements that we do. Pretty much everybody takes them. Who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or, you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo-woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store. And you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. If you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, that's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you've got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything. But I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, you know, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. Testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. But that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence. Because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body as it is to all of our bodies by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, everybody, to the War Room Show. My name is Tiffany Cianci, and I am leading today from Kentucky, Northern Kentucky to be exact, just down the street from Thomas Massey's HQ. I am so excited to be in studio. If you're just joining, I'm filling in for Harrison in this hour of War Room Live today, and I'll be back tomorrow interviewing Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, and the man of the hour, Thomas Massey. We are broadcasting live in Kentucky to get out the vote, to help ensure that everyone knows where they can get their vote, where they can go to the ballot box, how they can vote in these early voting days, today, tomorrow, and Saturday, and then where they can vote at hundreds of polling locations across Northern Kentucky on Tuesday, which is the final primary voting day. Now, a lot of you may or may not know that Kentucky is generally what's called a foregone conclusion state or a one and done state. The primary is generally the election, and that is because Kentucky is considered so deep, deep red that whoever wins the primary wins the election. It's just the way it is. It would be almost insurmountable to try to have anyone else win an election, which is why the primary is the big show in Kentucky. It's for that reason that a lot of people on both sides of the aisle register as a Republican regardless, so that they can take part in the part of the election they think matters most. We're here today because we were asked by Thomas Massey. I was asked specifically to come out here, and I want to tell you a little bit about how that happened, what we're here to do, who's here with us, and what you guys can do to help us spread the word. I sent over a tweet that I'm hoping they can get up for me. It has a picture of President Trump and Thomas Massey on it. I sent it via text message. But it was about 9 days ago when I was sitting across the table at a lunch in D.C. from Thomas Massey, and I did not know he watched me on X. I did not know he saw my tweets. But the tweet that was in question, and I don't know if you guys have that, Matt, in the green room, but the tweet in question, he held up to me on his phone, and he said, "Miss Yancey, is this true?" Well, the tweet said, "I will fly to Kentucky and bring every single follower I have across every platform to fight for Rep. Thomas Massey. POTUS has grossly misjudged how done the citizens are with bought and paid for politics." And that was in response to Trump saying Thomas Massey's political career was over for defying him on the Epstein release with the Epstein Transparency Act. When he asked me if I meant it, I said, "I do today. I do today, Congressman. What do you need?" And he said, "I'm not sure, but I need young people to know that this vote is coming. I'm being outspent 5-1, and I don't have the money to launch the kind of advertising campaign I do. All of the money is being spent right now on older platforms, legacy media, regular ads on evening news shows, and the young people aren't seeing it. I am worried young people do not know that this vote is as important as it is. I'm worried that young people do not know where to vote because the Republican Party changed all of the polling locations this week so all of their ballots have the wrong addresses on it. And I need them to know. And they don't listen to legacy media. They listen to you." Well, maybe not me, but I've got a few friends. And so it was 9 days ago that we started to mount what we called a Voices for Voters initiative. We said we were riding for Thomas Massey. We ride at dawn for Thomas Massey. And why? Well, we have creators here that are from every facet of the political spectrum. We have people from the deepest trenches of the far right conservative movement. We have people that are America and American first. As Thomas Massey likes to say, he's not America first, he's American first. He says he'll always do what's right for the Americans when I interview him. We have folks that are deep libertarian. We have folks like me that are deep, deep purple, right? Everybody knows that I am not politically affiliated with either party. I vote for policies. I vote for character, and I vote for lack of corruption. But we also have progressives. We have people on the left that favor transparency and releasing the Epstein files that agree with what he's doing. We have folks in my comment section that have said, "I never thought I could say this, but I disagree with Thomas Massey 91% of the time, and he's the only person I want to be president." Well, it's related to a very famous quote he made where he said, "Oh, perhaps you don't know. I vote with Republicans 91% of the time. The other 9%, they're taken up with corporate interests, billionaires, and pedophiles." So if you've ever heard that quote from him, you know that when progressives write that in my comment section, it's because Thomas Massey is acting for the American people. Thomas Massey is doing what he thinks is right. Even if you disagree with it, you know he's not bought off. You know he's doing it for you, or he's doing it for Kentucky, or he's doing it for the farmers that live next door to his farm. And so when he asked us to come, I made a few phone calls, and I called every creator I knew that doesn't take money. I have never taken money from anyone for my content. And I know a lot of other creators that want to keep our integrity more than we want to make a living at this. And so those are the people I called. I called people like Ian Carroll. I called people like Ryan Mata, people like James Lee, Danny Love, Holden Collada. I called people from the far left, like your favorite guy, right? I called people like Eric Warnick. And I spoke to Progressives for Kentucky. There's a whole coalition here of progressives in Kentucky that are Appalachian progressives. I called everyone I knew and I said, "Guys, what do we need to do to help Kentucky know what's going on? We don't want to tell them who to vote for. We don't want to tell them what to choose. All we want to do is help them recognize the importance of this election and that their voice still matters, primarily because so many of them have been blackpilled, probably by people like me, right? I come on here as your bubbly little fairy of doom, and people think that there's no hope, but I also try to give you guys hope and action. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is I would like to talk to you a little bit about what's going on and ways that we can support what is happening. One, you can go over to TiffanyCianci.com. That's my website. You can also follow me on X right now at The Vino Mom, TheVinoMom. And for the next 6 days, you're going to see schedules posted every day for activities you can come out and volunteer with. If you guys want to come help us get out the vote here in Northern Kentucky, we are building an apparatus. We have a huge volunteer coalition that are doing door knocking, and we will give you addresses and send you on your way. If you want to come and help us to spread word on social media or to go talk to folks on college campuses, we want you. And if you cannot get here, you're not close enough, but you know someone who is, we want you to tell them. For those of you that are tuning in from the West Coast, this is going to sound strange. I'm from the West Coast, so it would have sounded strange to me a decade ago. But if you're within 5 hours of Kentucky, we need your help. I'm talking to you, Indiana. I'm talking to you, Michigan. I'm talking to you, Ohio. I'm talking to everybody in Delaware, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, Tennessee. All of those states are a 4 to 5 hour drive from where I'm at right now, right? It's a very small intersection of the country where we all meet at the corner of Appalachia and the Great Lakes, right? It's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful place to come visit. We're looking at the river. We want you here with us. So we want you to call people and tell them to get up here and help us out. You can contact me on all my social channels. But why should you do that? Well, I want to talk to you about some of the things that Thomas Massey's been doing. If I can have you guys pull up for me the no capital gains bill. Many of you may or may not know that just recently, Thomas Massey has introduced a new bill in Congress after his Prime Act was just approved as a part of the Farm Bill. He did an immense amount of work on the Farm Bill, stripping glyphosate immunity out of it and the state preemption provisions. Right? In case you don't know what that means, Bayer Monsanto, which is a German company, was spending tens of millions of dollars to secure immunity from being held accountable for killing American farmers. But they were also asking the federal government to say that states no longer had the right to decide how that was legislated, that we were going to take states' rights away and give that to the federal government. Both of those things were stripped out of the Farm Bill by Thomas Massey. Simultaneously, he was able to get in his Prime Act. Now, the Prime Act is a really, really important act that allows local farms to get their meat processed and distributed locally. Local farms no longer have to go to these big four meat packers that are owned by Brazilian and Chinese billionaires that control our entire meat industry. So Thomas Massey's farm, which is an organic beef farm, could now go to a local processing place, a small mom and pop, and get his cattle broken down instead of having to go to one of the monopolies. And he can have it distributed locally without the expense of shipping it across the world. You know, a huge amount of American meat is shipped overseas to be broken down and then shipped back. And we pay for that, right? Grocery prices are out of control. So he recently introduced and was able to get it passed the Prime Act as a part of the Farm Bill while simultaneously stripping out state preemption and glyphosate immunity. But he also introduced a new bill that is the No Capital Gains on Family Farms Tax. And that's the bill I want to talk to you about right now. Can you pull that up for me, please? Sorry, guys. I don't have control of the switchboard because I'm remote. So I appreciate you guys hanging in there with me. All right. If they can't pull it up, don't worry. I have all the details. It's okay. I would rather you guys were able to see it. But the No Capital Gains on Family Farms bill that Massey introduced, I think, is incredibly important. One, because we are losing 140,000 farms this year due to the increased costs related to the war in Iran. We have family farms filing for bankruptcy at a rate never before seen in American history. 140,000 farms. I want you to think about how many local farms, how many regional farms we are losing that are going to be gobbled up by Bill Gates, consolidated into another monopoly, so that they can price fix our food supply. And one of the biggest problems that we have with family farms is that the average age of a family farmer is about 65. As a result, they're at retirement age. They're doing backbreaking work to feed this nation, but they can't pass the farms on to their children because in trying to pass the farms on to their children, the children have to incur a capital gains tax on that transfer, whether they've ever sold the farm or not. Now, if you don't know what that means, if a farmer bought his farm for $5 an acre 50 years ago, okay, it was probably more like a dollar an acre 50 years ago. So let's go with a dollar an acre. Okay, if that farmer bought his 2,000 acres for a dollar an acre, he paid $2,000, okay? If he wants to transfer that farm currently under the law in the United States to his children to keep running it, even though there's not going to be any profit, because the family's going to continue operating it. If he wants to transfer it to his children, and it's now fair market value is being deemed, let's say, $100 an acre, which is low, okay, for fertile agricultural land. That means that he has to pay capital gains of $99 per acre. He has to pay capital gains taxes on that. The child does, to acquire their family farm. And so this was actually kind of a thing that was covered in Yellowstone, where the family couldn't pay the capital gains taxes after father died. And as a result, they had to sell it for like a dollar to get it preserved so that corporations couldn't buy it. Right? Well, that's real. That's happening in America every day. And it's one of the largest reasons that family farms are going extinct, that we're having 140,000 family farms close this year. So Thomas Massie introduced the No Capital Gains on Family Farms Act. And what it's designed to do is make it so in the instance of family farms, not huge industrial farms, family farms that are transferring their farm to the next two generations, it could be either of the next two generations, right, to transfer ownership to them to keep it a family farm, it suspends capital gains taxes on that transfer to make it so that we stop bleeding farms at a rate we've never seen in America before. Now, this is a bill everyone would get behind, like so many of the initiatives that Thomas Massie works on. This is a bill that the right and the left agree we need. We want fresh food, right? We want clean food supplies. We don't want, he runs an organic farm. We don't want pesticides on our food, right? This is a bill that no one's talking about. When I went to try to see what the media had to say about this bill, not a single article, because the legacy media apparatus has been put into high gear to take this election and deny Thomas Massie access to this victory, right? So when you're looking at the things that he works on, when we're talking about these bills, this is a bill that you guys right now can start calling Congress today on and tell them you want more support for the No Capital Gains on Family Farms Act. You can do that right now. But we also can tell everybody online about it. We can help everyone online understand why Thomas Massie continues to work for the American people. Now, I want to help you guys see a couple others, because there's three other bills that he's introduced that no one's talking about. And the reason no one's talking about it is because, one, it's very lucrative for the legacy media to not talk about it. And two, it's very lucrative for the politicians to not talk about it. But he introduced the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. Now, for all of you at home, I'm hoping some of you know what the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act is. The Smith-Mundt Act was an act that was passed, I believe, in 2012. And it was an act, no, not 2012. Was that 2020? I think it was 2012. 2012? I'm going to have to look it up. The Smith-Mundt Act was an act that was put into place that repealed a decades-old law that, oh, 2012. It was 2012. That repealed a decades-old law that said it was illegal for the federal government to lie to its citizens to propagandize them. Well, when the Smith-Mundt Act passed, it made it legal for the U.S. government, and this was under Obama, to propagandize American citizens by lying through the media and any other propaganda apparatus they chose to employ. Okay? So it meant that the government could start issuing press releases that were lies. They could lie to you from the press pulpit. We've probably all seen some of that. They could lie to you across their tweets. They could lie to you in any way they needed to propagandize you for whatever they deemed was the good of the American people. Thomas Massie introduced the bill to repeal and modernize that act to make it illegal to lie to American citizens as a member of the federal government. We should all want that. We should all be demanding that that passed. We should all be ensuring that we are leaning on Congress to say, you don't get to lie to me. But lying is exactly what they want. Propaganda is exactly what they want. They want to make sure that they're controlling every narrative so that we don't have a real say in anything that goes on. And a lot of that, as we know, is funded by our closest allies who have Project Esther and their entire arm of Hasbara to propagandize American citizens to support our allies and the war in Iran. Well, we should not be lied to. We should not be lied to by the government that only exists because we allow it to be so, because we fund it, because we give them our taxes to make it so. I don't give my tax dollars to the American government to lie to me. But that is what they're doing. And this bill, Thomas Massie's bill, would make that illegal. and make it illegal for any member of the federal government to lie to the American citizens to propagandize us. Everybody should want that. The same way everybody wanted the Epstein Transparency Act, the same way that everybody, at least 87% of Americans, choose to support stopping immunity for big corporations that are killing Americans, like Bayer Monsanto. Right? He does the work for all of us that all of us need done. We need more members of Congress that stand up for us, not fewer. Right? How does Ed Gallrain feel about this? We don't know. He hasn't answered any questions about it. We don't know how he feels about any of these issues. But what I do know is that he recently was quoted, and I think it was a USA Today article I sent over. I don't know if you guys can see that article, but he was really trying to prove it, that he's not really a sock puppet for the Trump administration. And the Courtier General. I sent that over just a few minutes ago. But Ed Gallrain's response to being asked for his real opinions on issues, I believe Trump will let me speak my mind if I'm elected. He just can't speak his mind right now. Interestingly, there's another primary going on in 6th District, Kentucky, with another Trump primary opponent. And he also, or she, has not shown up for any of the primaries and is serving as a sock puppet. They are counting on Trump says so to deliver this election. And so while he has no opinions on any issues today, and we won't get to know how he feels about anything today, Ed Gallrain is very confident that Trump will let him have an opinion once he's elected. And then we'll get to know all about how he feels about things. Which seems backwards to me, but what do I know? I'm just a voter. Just a voter, like all of you. I'm going to ask all of you guys to please share, if you're watching this on a live stream, share this right now, because we need people in Kentucky watching it, right? We need people in Kentucky paying attention. We need people in Kentucky picking up this torch and carrying it to the polls for the next few days. Now, in addition to the Smith-Mund Modernization Act and the No Capital Gains Tax on Family Farms Act and the PRIME Act, and the killing of the Protect American AI Act, which are four things he has done in just the last 3 months for the American people as a congressman. Thomas Massie has also been working on several pieces of legislation that are designed to increase support for organic farming and regenerative farming. Now, many of you guys may or may not know much about Thomas Massie, but he lives on an off-grid farm in Garrison, Kentucky. And that off-grid farm is fully powered by a solar energy network he built. If you don't know, he graduated from MIT. He has multiple degrees in advanced engineering and electrical engineering. And he's an inventor. And he sold many of his inventions. But he also is really, really good at electrical engineering for his farm use. And his entire farm is organic, regenerative, And it runs off grid. One of the things that a lot of people have brought up recently is that we all agree in not having insider trading in Congress. That is a unifying issue, just like all of the other bills he's worked on, right? And recently there was a score that came out about Congressman Massie that gave him like a B minus, I think, on insider trading because he owns one stock. He's never traded in stocks while he's been in Congress. He's never used his insider information to get ahead trading stocks in Congress. But he owns one stock, and that is in Tesla. Why does he own stock in Tesla? Because he built a farm to make sure that the government could never control him. He has no connections to sewer, water, or electricity. And he had the ability to do that only because Tesla invented batteries that could hold solar power at your house and make it so you could recycle that energy, repurpose that energy, hold that energy, and be unreliant. It could hold your energy over many days of rain if you didn't have sunshine. And without Tesla batteries, his farm could not be completely independent of the government. And what Austin Fitz would say is the control grid, right? And so he does hold stock in Tesla. And if he didn't hold his stock in Tesla, he would have a perfect no insider trading record, which a lot of people might not know about him. So that's something worth talking about. And it's that work on his farm, which is a working, very profitable organic beef farm here in Kentucky, that has inspired him to do so much work on the farm bill, on initiatives to get the corporate interests out of our Farm Bill apparatus and the Agricultural Committee apparatus. He wants very badly to ensure that when we're giving incentives to farmers, when we're helping farmers get through tough times, that we're not tying that help to having to spend money with a corporation on things like pesticides, which is how it operates right now, right? So we have a lot of things about Thomas Massie that people may or may not know. We have a lot of bills he's been working on that people may or may not know about. We have a million reasons that we all agree with him. We have a million reasons that we all think people should vote for him. We have a million reasons that all of us say that Thomas Massie is the most popular member of Congress by approval rating on both sides of the aisle. We all know all of these things. What we don't know is why it's then the case that a poll, a very small poll, came out this week that suddenly has convinced all of us, apparently, that Ed Gallrain is beating him by 4%, which is still within the margin, when he's been ahead the entire election cycle and is still showing ahead by more than 12 points on Polymarket. Right now, we have all these pieces of legislation that have received zero press, even though they're passing or they're getting destroyed. And we have a new poll that suddenly comes out of nowhere and says he's losing this election. This is all aimed at voter suppression. Now, voter suppression happens in many ways. The most effective, statistically, version of voter suppression that takes place in the United States is to convince people that somebody has already lost or already won to a degree where they become complacent and no longer think their vote can shift it, right? There's a lot of Hail Mary things that different people can do before an election, but shifting their belief that their vote still matters is the single most effective. So when you're looking at teeny tiny polls that have never made sense, that don't stand out to you as possibly being true, and you think, oh my gosh, he's down by 4%. I guess I don't need to get up and go vote. I need you to understand that that is by design. They need you to believe your vote no longer matters, because your vote matters more than it's ever mattered, ever, right? Right now in this district, every single vote counts. This district could be decided by 25 votes. I don't think that's true, because he has the highest approval rating in the United States. But that only pans out if we actually go to the polls. And I have a whole series of different ways that you can come participate out here, and where you can come and meet up with us and meet with Thomas Massie. For instance, if you're in the area and you just want to come talk to him tomorrow, we're going to be at Lisse, that's L-I-S-S-E Steakhouse tomorrow Saturday, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can just come down and talk to Thomas Massie. You can talk to me. You can talk to all of our creators. You can ask him questions and he welcomes it. Now go look and see where you can go and talk to Ed Gallrain. If you go and check his event schedule, you're going to find that there's not a single place in Kentucky where you can speak to his opponent, because he doesn't want to answer any questions. He's the warm body that Trump promised. He's a warm body. He said Kentuckians would deliver for him because he says so, instead of the man that served them faithfully for 16 years. That's holding data centers and corporations accountable, that's stopping taxes on family farms and creating local meat supply chains. Now, we'll be back in just a minute, guys. I'm going to kick you over to break, and I will see you when we come back in just 3 minutes.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com and the link AlexJonesApp.com for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to War Room Live, everybody, on the Alex Jones Network. My name is Tiffany, and I am your generally referred to bubbly little fairy of doom, broadcasting to you live from Northern Kentucky, where we are out here getting out the vote for Congressman Thomas Massey in the 4th District. I am going to be wrapping up my segment in the next 4 minutes. We're going to talk about all the ways that you can participate and help in this initiative, because what we're seeing right now in Kentucky is the most expensive race in American history for a district-wide primary. We have AIPAC and Israel-aligned billionaires, three of them to be exact, that have spent nearly $15 million to unseat the most popular member of Congress by approval ratings on both sides of the aisle. The man that has been serving the American people relentlessly over the past year as he's gone up against monsters, literal pedophiles, and all of Congress to do it, and the administration. So right now here in Kentucky, we're watching a 5-to-1 spent, where we have these three billionaires that have never been to Kentucky, have no ties to Kentucky. Most of them are not from this country, that are spending millions of dollars so that every one ad you see from Thomas Massey, you're seeing five of theirs. And we've come here to try and make sure that people realize that you can't buy these elections, that we're here to ensure that you know where you can go and vote, how you can vote, how you can see the candidates. Well, one of them, how you can see Thomas Massey, ask him questions, and then get to the polls. I want you guys to understand that being here on the ground, it's been pretty crazy, I guess. I don't have a good word. There's not a delicate word here. It's been a wild ride to see how much they have blanketed this district in just blatant illegal propaganda. And when I say illegal, I mean it, because many of their ads have created deep fakes of Thomas Massey saying things that he has never said about issues he's never referenced, which is a crime in the state of Kentucky. But they're buying them in other states, and they're just broadcasting them here. So we'll see if anyone's ever held accountable. And what we want is for all of you to understand the role you have to play. If you are here in Kentucky, we want to see you. I am here joined by dozens of massive creators from across the internet. We're going to be here hosting events and broadcasting all weekend long. Today is the first day of early voting. And one of the ways that the vote is being suppressed here in Kentucky at the polls is that just a week ago, they changed the polling locations so that none of the locations that were on the ballot that these Northern Kentuckians got in the mail are accurate polling locations anymore. They did it under the guise of ADA compliance, but in reality, it was designed to ensure that the people that went to early voting would fail, because there are very, very few early voting locations. And unfortunately, those are the days that most people can vote. It's easier to vote on a Saturday than it is on a Tuesday. Right. I think that people should be allowed to take off work to vote. My employees can take off work to vote, but not everyone can. So for those of you here in Northern Kentucky, for anyone online, I want you sharing this link. You're going to go to thomasmassey.com/vote. Or if you are in a district here in Kentucky, you can go to your county name, thomasmassey.com/Kenton, thomasmassey.com/Boone. Okay. And you can find the real polling location you need to visit today, tomorrow, and Saturday. You can find it, you can share it, you can tell everyone online. We don't want people driving 45 minutes to the lone early voting location they have. Again, bad election laws here when it comes to access and the ability to register, right? We don't want people driving 45 minutes to a location that's not there and missing their opportunity. So everybody should be sharing this website, telling everyone how to get out and vote. If you're here this weekend and you want to come visit, you want to come see us, tomorrow night we're going to be down in LaGrange, where we're going to be hosting an event that is on Thomas Massey's events page. at his website. Saturday morning, Lise Steakhouse in Covington. We will be on the roof from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. with creators and Thomas Massey. You can come out, you can see us, you can talk to the candidate, and then you can go to the polls. Just after that, we're going to be heading to Thomas Massey's headquarters in Florence, Kentucky, where we're going to have a rally with Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, and Thomas Massey, 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. And then Saturday evening, we're going to be going to Turf. What's it called? Turfville? We're going to be going to, I'll post it, Turfway, where we're going to be watching the Belmont Stakes because this is a horse racing town. For everybody that joined me today, I can't thank you enough. I need your help getting out the vote tomorrow night. I'll be here with Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, and Thomas Massey live in the war room. Thanks, everybody, so much.
Make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
A brazen power grab ripped straight from the globalist authoritarian handbook, President Trump's National Security Presidential Memorandum 7, or NSPM 7, has just redefined core American beliefs as indicators of domestic terrorism. This thing unleashes the FBI's sprawling joint terrorism task forces to sniff out and preemptively dismantle networks before a single crime is committed. Stephen Miller called it the first real all-of-government push against left-wing terror. But as Ken Klippenstein laid bare, the language is so broad it devours everything in its path, bypassing Congress through the same old federal-local fusion centers that have been grinding away at liberty for decades. And in the last few days, Trump's counterterrorism point man, Sebastian Gorka, made it crystal clear. This blade cuts both ways.
Let's come back to right-wing extremism. Do you regard it as a threat at all or anything that's important to be considering right now? Because the SPLC revelations, I feel like we just got the tip of the iceberg. We don't really know how deep it goes. I mean, is there any? Like, I guess that's the question. I'm assuming there's a little bit because there's... It's a big country. There's a little bit of everything. But is there really anything?
We have to have an effective, accurate snapshot on who are part of the conservative movement today. Because I would say to you, I'm not sure that Nick Fuentes or Tucker Carlson are conservatives. If you are lauding a Sharia law, if you are saying that... there are Muslim states that seem to be better qualitatively than America in terms of freedom and prosperity. I'm not sure that means you're part of the conservative movement. So if you remove those individuals and you understand that they're not conservatives, what's left? Who are the people in the mainstream of the conservative movement, Alex, who are saying violence is okay? Hard to find people who aren't fringe figures.
So I don't talk a lot about Fuentes on the show because I always knew there was something up about it. It was very obvious to me and I just didn't know how much. It's always tough when you go to a big newsroom like Breitbart because I've got two options. I've got ignore it, knowing this thing is eventually going to go away, right, or direct a bunch of fire at it. And we did a couple of pieces on him over the years that have been negative, obviously. But it's the – I didn't spend a lot of time on it because it felt very inorganic to me. Certainly the numbers that were reported around this guy, that he was commanding this huge audience, though none of us know anyone who actually cares about his show in a serious way. Now he came out just a couple days ago and said he's a flat-out Democrat. The left understands this. They're as strategic as we are, if not more strategic. And for them to boost people who could drive a wedge within the MAGA movement is about the best strategy they could run. And now we've got actual evidence that's what they were doing.
It's such a sad truth.
NSPM7 can now be twisted into domestic inquisition. Thousands of JTTF agents embedded in local police departments, campuses, and online now primed to hunt radicalizing speech that challenges Gorka's protected narrative.
Official terrorism strategy, counterterrorism strategy, literally says they will identify and neutralize political groups that are anti-American, and then they throw in or radically pro-transgender and anarchists. So the bone is, we're going to go after Antifa. We're going to go after the transgender groups. But don't worry. We define all of the former MAGA that are actually patriots as the enemy. Just like they tell you all the police states for the Muslims after 9/11. And of course, the whole time, it was really for all of us.
Fuentes, you will burn in hell, you sad little boy.
What the?
This isn't new. It's a bipartisan version of post-9/11 powers. NSPM7 revives that machinery domestically, mapping evildoers through beliefs once protected by the First Amendment, which this document notably ignores. Recall Bush-era directives enabling mass surveillance and preemption that ensnared Americans for years, from Obama's IRS targeting conservatives to Biden's war on Alex Jones and every America First dissenter. Time to expose it, reject it, and reclaim the freedoms our forefathers bled for. The Great Awakening demands vigilance, not compliance. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network.
I want to thank the viewers and listeners for keeping...
You awakening wonders. This is the day that we have Alex Jones on the show, so it's difficult to be enthusiastic about anything else. Although it's also a time that my book is out, How to Become Christian in 7 Days, May Take 50 Years of Sin and Serious Fuck-Ups to Get Started. There's a link in the description now that will take you directly to Amazon where you can acquire it and assist me. We'll be making content where we walk you through this process. I'm going to look at the chapters in advance. We don't want any more scenarios where I'm leafing through a Bible moment after moment, taking up the precious time of this barbarian Babylonian system of the fallen. If you're watching this anywhere other than Rumble, get onto Rumble now. Even if you're watching this on X, this is one of the rare moments where you can't click on X and see Alex Jones is streaming if you're one of Alex's many followers, because we have him. We have corralled and captured Alex Jones. They say you can't keep lightning in a bottle, but it turns out you can keep Alex Jones quiet for a few seconds just by honoring him. Alex Jones, thank you for joining us today for Stay Free with Russell Brand.
Russell, thank you so much for having me on. The final saga of InfoWars is finally here, and it's a big deal. The CIA, the FBI, it's declassified, ran all these operations. The Trump administration's Todd Blanche, AG, killed the investigation into what they did 6 months ago, and it's just emblematic of how Trump's gone sideways. I'm so sad about it. We really wanted him to succeed, and we know in many ways he's better than Democrats, but we now see Trump coming out yesterday and saying, I don't care about the American people's financial situation. All I care about is war. A month ago, he said, I don't care about Medicare and Medicaid. We're a war country now. It's as if the old Trump got possessed by a demon or something, and so that's where we are right now. But what a moment to be alive. The global awakening to tyranny is only accelerating, so we don't, you know, rise and fall on Trump. He just rode it on the populist wave, and you know, we're all here continuing steadfastly like you've done to not compromise and tell the truth.
Well, listen, sometimes I do feel compromised, Alex. Sometimes I'm very aware of my fallenness and my brokenness. And you're, of course, one of the people that I look to. Indeed, one of the moments on my already notorious Piers Morgan appearance that I found most difficult was when I tried to explain, and I kind of wish I could have been inhered in that moment with your beautiful spirit, that if you were to look at the media landscape 20 years ago, it was evident that most people trusted blue chip, familiar insignia, mainstream media institutions, whether that's the BBC or New York Times. But now, and that's to some significant degree due to sacrifices you've borne personally, people regard those institutions with great cynicism. Now, the problem I think that comes with this time of mass distrust, disorder, and fragmentation is that people find it very difficult to orientate ourselves. You know, like, even take this story that we're talking about right now, that you, one of the great advocates for Trump, one of the most serious and senior voices for Trump, certainly in the space in which you've dominated, succeeded, flourished for many years, you are turning away from Trump and recognizing that even a character as idiosyncratic, significant, and at points magnificent as Donald Trump is ultimately just another pawn, just another piece being moved around on this chessboard. Was there a significant moment when you had that realization? How do you look back at your earlier support of Trump? And if and does Trump's failure in the White House, if that's how you would characterize it, mean that this type of politics is actually over, that none of us can ever get it up again for any candidate, whether it's a coffee-coloured wonder like the brilliant Barack Obama, whether it's some sort of New Age guru type, whether it's this exciting, priapic and ever-quipping Donald Trump. Once they're in the system, they're going to do what the system does. Do you think this is a significant moment, Alex? And have you had, even though like you're a man who seems to live in a permanent state of epiphany sometimes, I think that's why the cult finds you in some quarters at least difficult to deal with. My question is, mate, do you think that this is a further pivotal moment where now it's like there can be no trust of anyone?
Well, the best way to describe this is the left in the last 6-8 months when I started really coming out against Trump, because he'd gone sideways so much. I wasn't expecting perfection, but he really started to deviate when he kicked out Elon Musk, and Elon said, you know, Trump's in the Epstein files. Then Trump did direct the cover up of the files and got so angry at MTG and others, you know, when they forced it through Congress. And we just learned the devastating information that was even wilder than I thought would actually be in there. And they've already held back more than half of it. So imagine what they did release. The left's like, oh, you now admit your 10 years of support for Trump was a lie and it was a fraud and you were con. No. When they used to call him a liar on issues, I know all the major issues, he was very accurate, very truthful on average. Not perfect. None of us are, but like a 97% accuracy rate, I would say. And then with the cover up of Epstein, the shutting down of Doge, all the insider trading going on that even makes Nancy Pelosi blush. She was the previous grand champion. Now Trump and all the sons of his cabinet are literally just raking in at every level. And then, you know, promising not to go to war with Iran. If you elect Kamala, it's World War III with Iran. The Pentagon even telling him, and they're not perfect, hey, they're not going to fall. They're going to close the strait. It's going to kill your recovery. That was unanimous. It was only the Mossad and Netanyahu that told Trump they'll fall in 4 days. There'll be an uprising. It's going to be great. That was 75 days ago. So I went from being somewhat critical, trying to get him back on track, until we saw this event 75 days ago. And I said, okay, now I've really got to go after him to get back on track. And then about 5 weeks ago when he said, we will destroy all of Iran's culture in one day. They will never return. They will be a dead people, basically, the definition of genocide. That type of megalomaniac statement, I came out and said, you got to be 25th Amendment if you keep saying it. He came out a day later and said, no, I won't nuke him. I said, okay, great. So that was, you know, tough love. Then he said, well, last week, if they don't do a deal, we will turn them into one giant glowing crater. That's another nuclear threat. So it's that type of megalomania and then political suicide in the midterms to say, I don't care about Medicaid or Medicaid. And now I don't care about the American people's finances. I don't even think about that. That's a quote yesterday. Just the disconnect there. I really believe a lot of the doctors that have assessed him that he has frontal lobe early stage dementia, meaning the rest of the brain's operating. And my grandfather, my mom's dad, had frontal lobe dementia. He'd be totally normal sometimes. The last year he was alive, totally crazy other times. And, I mean, I think we have the madness of King George here. And so Trump was like a great war horse that got us so far, or a horse that won a bunch of races, and you love it, and it's great. But then once it goes crazier, once it breaks the leg, that's it. And so I just think we need to point out that Trump has become everything he claimed he was going to oppose. He still has RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard and a lot of good people's administration. The Border Patrol's been doing his job. So I'm not throwing the baby out the bathwater. I just cannot underwrite and be an apologist and sign on, like I'd say, a third of the old Trump supporters. You know, Gorka, the head of counterterrorism now, says basically Tucker Carlson's a terrorist. We're investigating him. All of this. And that's what I was going to say earlier. We're at the Great Awakening. We've gone out of the beginning of the beginning into the end of the beginning. We're going into the middle part of this, or the second act of this. And the globalists know they've lost. So all they can do is, okay, who's prominent? Who's liked? Who's telling the truth? Investigate them, set them up, put them in prison. Everything they've done to you, they tried to do to me. It just never hit the newspapers as much. Some of it did, because it was just, you know, I wasn't as prolific as you, so they didn't have as many people to set me up. So that's why I automatically knew it was crap. So anybody, whether it's Tucker Carlson, whether it's Candace Owens, whether it's Megyn Kelly, whether it's you or me, you have to understand that they are coming after us because they know that we can't be bought. We're committed. We're not perfect. We realize we're fallen and sinners. But the value, the spiritual energy, the high of doing what's right, the Holy Spirit saying, good job. You can put a gun to my head and I couldn't sell out. I can't do it because the spiritual feeling is such a high, is so fulfilling to fight evil. I'm totally addicted. People say, oh, thank you for what you do. I'm completely an addict of fighting tyranny, an addict to the Holy Spirit. I mean, I love this one side. That's why I thank the listeners supporting me and spreading the word and keeping us on air, because they're keeping me in the fight. This is all I want. And I look at you. I've been watching you for decades, interviewing you for over like 12 years or so. And you were somewhat reformed 12 years ago, but you still, you know, were a giant of a guy and a powerful presence. But since you found God, you're glowing, you're radiating. Everything you say is so much more eloquent. That's what I want more of. When you serve the living God, it is just endless expansion and discernment and literal mental superpowers. So I feel sorry for the Satanists and people that ever found God, because they don't know what they're missing.
I love you for saying that. That's so kind of you. What I feel the point we might be at, Alex, in our culture, because I've never been able to doubt your integrity. You're a person that maybe a million times a day I would think, oh my God, that's crazy what he's saying. And then subsequently I'd do some reading or research, or I'd open a link, or someone else would explain it in a different, more scientific, more academic, more credentialed and professional way. And time after time, that famous meme, Alex Jones was right, would come to fruition again. You've got the kind of beautiful prophetic craziness that the world in so many ways needs. And what I think's astonishing is that when you were advocating for Trump, it seemed still very mercurial and sort of crazy. You know, like, I think it was when he spoke to you directly from the Oval Office.
I was the first. Roger Stone came to me, who I'd known for years, from JFK in Dallas. He said, nobody's endorsing Trump. I told him to come on your show. There's a blockade on him. I was the first major show to endorse him. And then I talked to him behind the scenes, heard what he was planning to do, and yes, did endorse him. He said, I will not let you down. I think you'll be very impressed.
Well, here we are. And I'm not as brave as you, I have to say. I'm sometimes just scared because of the legal trials I'm facing, because I'm an Englishman in your beautiful country. I sometimes feel like if I'm too assertive on the subjects that most people recognize as being quite close to the center of world power right now, Israel, Palestine, genocide, Trump's co-option.
Trump will come out and call you a traitor and say you're an idiot, like he did to myself and others repeatedly the last month. Yeah. And people said, oh, how do you like that? I mean, I'm glad he got mad and attacked me, because that means I'm getting his attention. And I'm trying to get him back on track, because he has all Mark Levin and all these horrible people advising him. So, I mean, when he targets you, now we have the head of counterterrorism now saying he wants to come after Trump's original supporters in a national security memorandum. Well, I mean, that just proves what we're saying. So we have to protect humanity from the spirit that has invaded the White House.
But it isn't possible, I don't think, Alex Jones, for you to influence Trump if Trump is now operating in spheres of power and influence the manner of which you describe. And you alluded in your last answer to a supernatural and good versus evil component, which I know informs you hugely. Indeed, my own journey to Christ, which I suppose I would describe as being grabbed by the throat by Christ and thrust into new light in the brokenness of personal crisis, one of the things that's been, I want to say, validating is that I'm a person that's consumed your content since I was 16 years old. Yours, David Icke's, reading Eric von Daniken, Spaceships of the Gods, doing LSD, trying to make sense of this world, going through the socialist phase, learning about Che Guevara, recognizing that you can never trust the establishment, that the government, whoever you vote for, you're going to get bureaucratic systems that ultimately operate with the same globalist imperatives. I've known that for a long while, like because of people like you and, you know, other influences from across the political, cultural and philosophical spectrum bolted together like any autodidact. Anyone who's educated themselves because they didn't go university or whatever, I've got that kind of perspective. Now, when I come to the Lord, it happened very viscerally and not even, it wasn't an option or a decision. Just suddenly I went from, oh yeah, Jesus, he's a great prophet like Buddha or whatever, to, oh my God, he's actually real. And since then, I've understood the necessity of the resurrection, the requirement of him taking all shame on the cross, the need for him to be absolutely perfect, the simple beauty in scripture, the truth of the prophecies about him in the Old Testament. And what I'm trying to work out now, Alex, is how that conversation is going to unfold with people that are new age, with people that are broken, with people that are the types of Christian that are right now in office praying, laying hands on Trump, praying for war, praying for death, excluding and making moral and ethical judgments, making it impossible for people of other faiths to have open dialogue with Christians, making it impossible for people with other lifestyles.
Exactly. You can see the energy of the fake Christians around him. It's purely satanic. And, you know, Christ is the groom, we're the bride. And when he comes knocking at the door and then we, you know, accept it, it's described as you know, literally, you know, a union, and then God takes us. And you know, that's the thing. And so people say, why do I start spewing stuff, or why do I get so energetic? It's because most of what I do is I have a template how the world works temporarily, and I study it, but only so when God gives me information, I understand it. And then I'm just basically streaming the information. And so with my limited intellect, trying to describe this incredible beauty and complexity, and like I'm giving like every angle and how it all works and the whole system and on any topic, and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And so it comes off as crazy. That's why people that get this download look crazy, because you're just literally like channeling a fire hose of information.
Yeah. Like, well, last time I came on InfoWars, and do let us know whatever we can do to support you and to support InfoWars, for even for the haters who loathe Alex Jones, not that I got no business or no time for you. You've got to recognize Alex Jones.
I can
Jones
give you a major
person.
Update on that.
Well, let me hold on. Let me do it. Let me finish my spiel, mate. You know, like when I was there in your crazy place selling your supplements, then like I sat there quietly like a good Christian man doing what I was supposed to, except for that bit where we'd done push-ups. And I was very excited to go on that walk, by the way, when me and you talked about going trespassing and all that sort of stuff. What I want to say is that you cannot question the authenticity of Alex Jones. What I'm going to be talking about after we come back from this break is how we manage to communicate the principles of Christianity to a non-Christian audience in a way that don't seem churchy, preachy, or, I don't know, pallid, lacking in power and potency. That's one thing I'm going to be asking Alex Jones about. Two, I'm going to be saying, does this now represent the threshold where we abandon once and for all any faith in the system? Not, of course, to become despondent, no, but to focus on new systems of government, people-powered democracy, participatory democracy. And I'm going to be asking Alex Jones about that. But first, we have a message from one of our partners. It's still showbiz, baby. Who knows when the government will decide to switch you off or hunt you down like a pig? Squeal! We're going to need a currency that's beyond the reach of corrupt global institutions. Rumble Wallet is what you need, and cryptocurrencies are what you require. You could choose from Bitcoin, stablecoin, tied to the US dollar, or Tether Gold. That's backed by real gold. How much control have you got over your money?
to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. The people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos, and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got, like, copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently, stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently, cutting their heads off nonviolently, ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? You better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the Spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Phone hot in every single direction. The great Alex Jones, my screen. The magnificent and amazing Alex Jones. The mic was up there, Alex, and I heard you saying all sorts of amazing stuff about Katy Perry being in the occult and all sorts of wonderful things. We mute the mics over this side. Now, I want to say this. I did not have any sense that Katy Perry was in the occult. I start to worry about it now that she's getting with old Justin Trudeau. But man,
that was her dad. Wanted to come to the show and said that.
Oh,
her dad came on and said that.
No, that's crazy stuff, man. Hey, Alex, well, we can talk about that if you wanted, but what I wanted to talk about is what I was chatting about before the break just there. By the way, if you're watching us anywhere other than Rumble, if you're watching us on YouTube, and I can't imagine you would be, Alex Jones, Russell Brand, YouTube, it just doesn't make sense anymore. If you want free speech, join us on Rumble and get Rumble Premium, and you'll get access to additional content from us. And remember, my book's out now on Amazon. I know Amazon has its problems. Everything has its problems. Indeed, these kind of systemic problems are precisely what I'm trying to understand and learn from an elder here, Alex Jones. I would say he's an elder in this space. One of the things we do these days is iconoclastically bring down those that have gone before us. Gandhi was a great guy. Was he, though? Didn't he sleep in a bed with his nieces? Martin Luther King, wasn't he a good leader? Well, he was having sex with his secretary. Oh, okay. Well, I guess everyone's broken. Everyone's ruined. We should just give up, should we? And let the globalist imperialists dominate us and just yield to the digital ID, the surveillance, and the senselessness. Please, if you haven't got my book yet, get it now. We're going to be doing read-alongs, and I'm going to be bringing the course to you. Now, what I was asking, Alex, is doesn't, if you want to call it the capitulation of Trump or the failure of Trump, in addition to the challenges you're facing now at InfoWars, which are exactly the kind of problems that I would preempt if you don't have any allies amidst the powerful, like, who, you know, all that's left is the people. All that we have is each other now. All we have is the possibility of building alliances where the technological revolution finally delivers on its threat. The same way that Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies massively disrupted the ability to control finance, and channels like yours with the new information space meant the hegemony of centralized media was annihilated, they know what's coming down the pipe is the disruption of politics. There's no need for centralized, institutionalized politics anymore that always yields to global power. We can truly have bottom-up, grassroots democracy. Run your community democratically, using the technology that they want to use to ensure facial recognition technology is implemented in my country, for one thing. Digital ID, that's also in my country. My country, it seems to me, Alex, is being used to pilot schemes that will ultimately be implemented across the globe when they use, you know, Project 2030 or all the stuff you know more about than me to fully implement centralized authority. So if you don't have any allies in the White House or in Congress or in Parliament in my country, we've got to go direct to the people. How concerned are you that they're cutting those ties through censorship and control? And do you think now is the time for us to actually be directly involved in politics, running for office and attempting to change the very systems that we know convert even the best intentioned leaders into plebs and larvae of the evil hive mind?
Well, those are all excellent points. I want to answer those. But you said something before the break. I'm trying to remember. I wanted to answer about Christianity or about how do we reach out to people, not with beat them over the head with the Bible or with the controlled fake, you know, Christianoid establishment systems that are set up to turn people off. I mean, I think that was your question. And
yes, one of them.
I mean, the answer here is there, you use Carl Jung. Okay. I would start with an atheist or a liberal this way. Okay. Let's talk about archetypes. There is good versus evil. And we know that when we resonate towards good and we resonate towards the good forces of the universe, it helps us and it helps others. And I can tell you, the globalists themselves, none of them are atheists. They believe in the occult. They believe they serve the devil. They know exactly what they're doing. So I would just challenge people out there to reach out to Jesus Christ and say, look, I want to believe in you. Show yourself to me, sometimes physically or, you know, through things. I want to believe. I'm knocking on the door. You're knocking on the door. I'm reaching out to you in good faith, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of God, show me and just see what God does and just see how things change, okay? And because our God is the God of the universe that created all this, that is the first mission. And then realize, you think you're turned off of these establishment churches? Most of them are a bunch of establishment, globalist, leftist, ecumenical, Rockefeller Foundation over 100 years ago to go in and take over the churches of the world to turn people off. So, that is my message there. And then you also talk about, I never put my faith in a leader, a cult of personality, as if I thought Trump would fix it all. But a lot of people did. And he did a lot of good. And he began to go sideways for whatever reason. So we don't get disheartened by that. We realize that he was just one vehicle just here to do that. And populists are winning everywhere. The Great Awakening's here. The Fourth Turning's here. And we had a Davos just yesterday. The talking point was, AI will save us. God isn't real, but now it exists. We've made a God. We should worship AI. It is going to be our savior. And so we need to understand, no, that is not going to be our savior. AI is just true narcissism, where you're looking into the pool and see your own face and are in love with it. It just scrapes our content, our music, our ideas, our literature, our culture, and shows it back to us in a very beautiful, integrated way. That is even more example of how we are amazing, made in the image of God, as Genesis says, not God, but the image of God, little g, as creators, basically God's original AI. And we have to then fight tyranny, but also not hate tyranny and those involved in it, because they are lost. They are the failures. They have succumbed to it. And the devil's the great accuser. He has a lot of tricks. He doesn't exist. Good doesn't exist. So you don't think there's anybody good. But also one of the biggest tricks of the devil is the accuser. Once we have a conscience, once we dial into God, we can see our own sin. We want to make it better. The devil says, well, see, you've done all this stuff. And so you're not good enough to actually lead anybody. You need to just sit down and shut up. No, we announce, like you do, the things that you've done that are wrong as an example to others, to let them know that they can get out of what they were into. They can get out of the bondage. I've certainly not been some choir boy. I've certainly gone through my trials and tribulations. And that's what God's doing, is like a truck, four-wheel drive, trying to get out of the mud. And God wants to see that struggle. And as long as we commit to that, God doesn't, like Oprah Winfrey, just give us everything we want like a secret. You imagine it, you get it. Some of God's greatest gifts were unanswered prayers, to quote Garth Brooks. But when you're in alignment with God, you do the right thing. God, in almost every case, especially in my life, will open the doors up. When doors close, if you don't give up like Job, believe in God, more doors will even open. So God wants us to take full action, commit, and then he will take us the final few steps over. And that's what this is about. So this is about dialing into the universe that God created. This is about interfacing with God. And these evil people and groups don't want us to realize that we are electrochemical computers. They declassified it last month. We're a liquid crystal that is totally empathic and absolutely psychic. That all the universities have proven it. That we are all interconnected. The sixth sense is more important than our eyesight, our smell, our olfactory, our taste, our feel. It is the real sense. The sixth sense is the greatest of all the senses. And as we open that up, it's a radio channel or TV channel. We have to tune it towards God and his plan and not towards Satan's plan. And so it's all about the personal choice that I'm going to aim my antenna at God. Sure, I've aimed at the wrong place before. That's okay. God made us. He understands that. And the more you resonate with God, the stronger and stronger it gets. And so this is really an amazing adventure. And it's not an adventure we're selling as a cult, or do what we say, or do these special things, these rituals. We're saying the God of the universe is real. Reach out to God. Point your antenna out there and say, God, help me. And God will. If you do it from a pure, repentant heart, seeking God's face, he will heal our land.
That's so beautiful. That really helped me to understand that. Thank you. That you can personally invite Christ into your life. Yeah, you better hide those fags, cigarettes in your language. You can invite him in. You can have a personal relationship with him. So we don't want an institutionalized Christ. The way that the devil mimics eternity is through permanence, by creating solid institutions. And that reminds me of Mike Benz's analysis of democracy, that democracy is meant to mean the fluid relationship between a population and those elected to serve through leadership. But now democracy means a set of controlled institutions. So when we take democracy to Iraq or Iran or Ukraine or wherever, what we mean is we're dropping a bunch of bureaucratic entities that will themselves implement this centralized control of the powerful. Now, Alex, you've always been ahead of it when it comes to calling out in the culture the presence of occultism and demonism. And it feels like me and you are like in an old school phone call where you're answering one question back. So when you do my last question, which I reckon is the one you'll answer now, which is hopefully how we infiltrate the institutions of democracy using the technology that they want to use to control us to ensure that people are heard, which would mean in a true democracy, people could run their communities with full control over their budgets, with full control over policy. People say
exactly, exactly. If we use AI and control it ourselves, it's not programmed to lie, then it is a super empowering thing that we created. And that is, we have to realize we're the folks that were right. We're the people that challenged the system. And I wouldn't say we have an arrogance, but we should have a confidence in what we're doing and that we're going to go out there and be the salt of the earth and with God's spirit help lead people out of this. And I totally agree. Everybody should politically get involved, run for office, speak out, start a podcast, even if it has 100 viewers. You do that, God will get involved, and amazing things will happen. And so absolutely, this is time for total decentralization. The system wants centralization. We want decentralization. Just like with AI, the answer to AI is not have it centralized. We want a whole bunch of AI. And so the real AI wars are about to begin. And people just have to realize the epicness of this, not see challenging evil or corruption as some big job, but as an opportunity, like lifting weights or jogging, to get in better shape. And once you see it as it's an opportunity and a blessing to be alive now at the crossroads of human destiny, then you can step into that wider world. But I go back to the devil's biggest trick. It's not that he doesn't exist. That's the second trick. It's that good doesn't exist. There are so many good people, black, white, Hispanic, old, young, Arab, blah, blah, blah. And you have to understand that you're not perfect, but your main mission is good. You're not out to get people. You don't want to see other people fail so you succeed. You understand a rising tide raises all ships. It's a non-zero-sum game, a total win-win. And you just have to step into that and just let your light shine, and the people will come. I mean, I'm somebody 32 years ago, was 20 years old, and I wanted to get on talk radio and went to, you know, college to try to do RTF, and it was a joke. They were teaching 30-year-old information, and I sent out tapes to local radio stations. They play them on air. Look, this guy wants a job. Listen to him. Make fun of me. But I went to an Access TV show, and immediately within a year showed up in the ratings in Austin as number one in that little time slot twice a week. So then I got a local radio show within a year, number one. Another year later, syndicated. And it wasn't that I was so great. It was that it was unwashed, it was unfiltered, and it was covering real issues, and the people wanted it. And so I'm saying I'm nothing special. Good people tend to try to overthink things and think, well, I have a perfect plan, or I'm not good enough to do this. You're good in that you love God and you love justice. You don't have all the answers. You've got to walk in faith and speak out. You've got to be seen. You've got to be the salt of the earth, the light in the world. And a little light in the darkness dispels the darkness. And you just got to start that journey, and you've got to get involved. And if you pray to God to send the Holy Spirit to you, to lead God and direct you, it will happen. And it is amazing once you do that. So I would just say, take God's hand, ask God to direct you. And it might just be taking care of a sick neighbor. You know, it might be, who knows, whatever God leads you to do. Because it's like, oh, a little thing. I'm taking care of a sick neighbor. Or I'm going and I'm helping in a soup kitchen. Or I'm doing this. It doesn't matter. Or I'm going to run for office. Or I'm going to sue this person. It's whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Just start everywhere. What do I do? How do I fight? What is God's mission? You keep asking the Holy Spirit that. The Holy Spirit will more and more come in until now I get woken up. I even turn the clocks off and turn my phone off because it's ridiculous. I can go to bed at midnight, go to bed at, you know, 8 p.m. 3 a.m. I wake up, and I just go sit at the coffee table, and for like an hour, I wouldn't call it meditation. I just sit there with the lights dim and just sit there and go, what's the orders? And I do it 7 days a week now for at least 3 years. I was up at 3 a.m. you know, today for like an hour just sitting there. And just saying, I wouldn't even call it meditation. It's just clearing my brain and saying, what is your orders?
I don't think you should be allowed to smoke when you're doing that. Are you smoking?
Yeah, I am smoking. I never really smoked off and on. And then my wife went to rehab 4 years ago. She came back with it. She quit. And it's like, it's crazy to start smoking when you're like 49. Now I'm 52. Yeah, I need to stop.
Yeah, you must smoke. But not when you get the orders as well. Like, I think the orders are coming in. You can't sit there with your American spirit chugging away on that. You got to be focused on the orders. Now, like, I'm getting the orders coming through as well. Now, this is it. This is weird because in my country, we got a class system. So we're taught, like, if you're from a certain background, you don't belong in politics. Then you're kind of taught there is no God. And like, if you, as you have already said in this brilliant conversation, orient yourself to God, then that self-obsessiveness that's really governed my life for a long time, and really I coasted on through Hollywood and a bunch of stuff, but somehow I knew that life was spiritual. You feel it all the time, and I knew that it wouldn't work, the life of indulgence and becoming a priest of the Pharisee class of Hollywood. I knew, Alex, that there was something that I was trying to get to, and I didn't think it would come to me in such pain and anguish and so much suffering and brokenness and accusation and fear and dread, but it has come now, and I feel relief and I feel his presence, and I know what you're telling our audience to do is true. That if you say, Jesus, I'm talking to you, Lord, how do you want to serve me? What do you want me to do, Lord? Tell me, what do I do? I want to follow you. Show me. I'm weak on my own. I'm broken. Please, Jesus, help me. I don't know what to do. Like that, you will be involved in an interface. Now, since I've been living like that, broken, back and forth, falling over, stumbling, but getting back up again, what I've been shown is this. But the world we operate in has already, as we saw with Napster, annihilated the record industry, as we saw with the Arab Spring being used as a tool for politics, as we saw with the Occupy movement used as a unifying force across the political spectrum, and as we're seeing with cryptocurrencies, in particular Bitcoin, but a whole host of them, I'm not really a Bitcoin crypto guy, I know I need to be, like, that it's, what it's doing is it's changing the world radically. And if those technologies, the technologies that have broken the monopoly of information, if that technology is used in the field of politics, is going to change the world radically. Now, this is what I've decided to do. In 2028, there's a mayoral contest in London. The mayor of London, that competition is in 2028. This is my plan, Alex Jones, and I want your feedback on it. Run for mayor, whether I'm in jail or not, and the policy is this. Total democracy. The reason it can work in London, Alex, is because it's limited. The London mayoral office controls the Metropolitan Police Force, it controls transport, and it controls property development. It has some other symbolic roles as well. But I'm saying this, you don't need a mayor of London. What you'll have is absolute democracy. Using the technology we're all familiar with, whether it's voting on dumb reality shows, or whether it's Polymarkets, one of our sponsors, incidentally, we'll use that technology to ensure absolute a maximum democracy, whether it's small things like improvements to road systems or larger things.
I think it's an
like
absolute genius plan for you to run against Sadiq Khan, who just won his third big win there, just to inject the real issues. That is absolutely what people should do. People shouldn't think, am I going to win? You're going to inject real issues. The only way you fail is not doing it. I think Russell Brand running against Sadiq Khan coming up in a year and a half, 2 years, is pure genius. I think you absolutely must do it.
Thank you very much. Because this is my point. Since coming to the Lord, I don't care. When I was talking about this stuff in 2015, like me running for mayor then, which is when I first started talking about it, it was about, yeah, maybe that'll be great. I'll be powerful. I'll be a mayor. How fantastic. Now, I don't care no more. I'm already dead, man. I don't like suffering. I love my children, all of that stuff. But like you, I can see it in you. I know it when I see it in other people. You kind of know that there is suffering. You kind of know that there is despair, but you also know his glory is real. And when you submit yourself to him, things become possible that were impossible before. I don't want to be
well, that's
a
what I was
going to
say earlier when you
decisions.
Were talking about this.
I want the opportunity,
well,
Alex,
no, that's
Jones,
exactly it.
To democratize London. I want the opportunity to say, listen, if you want U-less cameras, one of the issues is they hate these cameras, a lot of people do anyway, that charge them congestion taxes. If you want to get rid of that, get rid of it. I also want, if you have issues with migration, and this isn't one of the things that the mayoral office controls, actually, but if people don't want hostels for migrants, they should be able to vote and not have hostels for migrants. The truth is, democracy could work a lot better. It wouldn't be perfect, but it would be a lot better.
And that's what I'm trying to get at that I said earlier, but just to quantify it, literally, if you ask God to lead God and direct you, not the first time, you in my experience, you know, a lot of prayer, a lot of focus. I spent an hour a day just sitting in a chair asking God, what do I do? There's an American spirit hanging in my mouth doing a coffee, but, and you know, occasionally a sandwich or something. But the point is, that is,
what do you want,
is
God?
That.
Tell me what to do, Lord. What do I, is that, what do I do? Return the frog, stay. She sleeps in a literal tent. That evil bitch, she stinks of sulfur. What do I do, Lord? Lord, I can't hear anything. Should I have another sandwich, Lord? Shall I? Oh, this one's gone out. Lord!
Sorry, Alex, sometimes I do
no,
comedy.
That's the thing is, you know when it's God, because time and time again, it's like nothing but success. And so what I'm saying is that people are like, oh, I'm insecure, or I shouldn't do this. No, you say, I want to be an agent of God. God, what do I do? And you'll know when it's the Holy Spirit. And God will give you little jobs up front, you know, little things. And it's amazing. I mean, when I've totally turned myself over to this, and I get better and better at it, like when I first really started doing it, consciously was Jack Dorsey and the Twitter hearings like 8-9 years ago, and they tried to take them at the back of the building, the front of the building, and I was like, God goes, let me take control of you. Go down this thing. Got to go down this hallway. Now go outside. Now come back in. You're going to confront him right now. And they had all these exits and stuff, and there he was, and I got him. And the point was that I had to literally turn my agency over. I wasn't possessed by like a demon. It was like God was beaming the answers to me. And I've had a lot of examples of that I've shown the listeners. It's not just, it's not like I have some superpower. We all have this power. God is 100% real, and all of the drugs and chemicals and poisoned foods is about dampening that connection we have electrochemically through our DNA. There's a transceiver. We're a literal, liquid, water crystal. You know, that got declassified a month ago in Operation Artichoke. The CIA said, we're all psychic. We're a liquid crystal, and we've got to poison the food, water, and shots so that there isn't a giant awakening. But it's going to fail. And so that's really the amazing thing that's happening right now.
I see. The awakening is already among us. The kingdom of heaven is among us. The kingdom of heaven is breaking free and reigning already, but it is being prevented, as usual, by the counterfeit schemes of the fallen one, by the institutions and bureaucracies of this world.
Total delivery and ascension is being blocked by people in denial. Exactly. It's already here, right here, and the enemy's already losing. You can see they're already losing. But the point is, we haven't gotten the general public to realize it. But once there's mass adoption, it is going to be incredible.
Yeah, I wonder, Alex Jones, would you ever consider beginning a community that would be run democratically? Here are some of the principles I reckon are important. Food independence, a community, whether it's 100 people or 500 people, where you have food autonomy, you grow your own food, where you have energy autonomy, you're energy resilient. Would it be possible, Alex, and is this a sort of sensible idea, or have I gone crazy from watching too much InfoWars? Would it be possible to form our own communities that are energy independent and food independent, and those communities are run fully democratically by the people that live there? If they want to run them as Muslim, they can.
Well, the Amish have already done it.
The Amish. Blockchain Amish,
baby. The Amish have already done it. They're all over the world.
Blockchain Amish. Yeah, the Amish have
done it. Exactly.
You
have, like, some way to hook the Amish system in, and that they can control it and have, like, a high-tech element of it. The Amish live on average 8 years longer than everybody else. They don't have autism. They are way healthier than us, and what they're doing is literally following Leviticus. So absolutely, I mean, we know the blueprint.
Yeah. We've got to be blockchain Amish. We grow our own food. We control our own energy. Now, once you've done that, like, now look, you know a lot more about this than almost anybody. It seems to me that anytime there's a real ideological threat to the system, and I don't even want to call it the American government, because the American government just seems like one outlet of a much broader, wider, more nefarious, deeper occultist system. But say when there is something, like, I don't know, Jonestown or Waco. I'm not suggesting that Waco or Jonestown were anything other than crazy, crazy scenarios. However, I do also suspect that if a community was being run well and the leaders were not sleeping with the members or exploiting them financially, that the FBI and the CIA wouldn't be pleased to see alternative social models emerging, and the members of those social models saying, we wanna decouple from the dominator system. Imagine if you had these communities of 100 to 500 people, and then you went, as a matter of fact, we're not paying tax anymore, and we're not repaying our debt. We're living in accordance with Scripture. For example, you wouldn't have to do it in accordance with Scripture. That would be democratically decided by the community. What do you think would happen? Do you think the state would step in? Do you think the feds would step in? What do you think would happen, Alex, if you tried to create Alex Jones Land or Alex Jones World? Although I know you're too humble to call it that. Probably you'd call it, I don't know, Infoland. I'm not, I don't want to bicker about the name.
Sure, let me try to explain. Listen. By our own financial decisions and with AI, with good people running it, you can work with people all over the world. We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I'm going to thank all you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. and then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the t-shirts that are limited edition there. A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern, updated World War II trench knife with the blacked-out, murdered-out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, five different limited edition laser-engraved designs. They're all about to sell out. Only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it, and you can cancel any time. There's no commitment, just in your profile. You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel any time. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now. At realalexjones.com and the Alex
Jones. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.